Thursday nights every week. 3-hour show that you really love. Bringing all the comedy that you come to like. Everything you want to hear on the best show. Listening to the show, we got Mike here. Screening the calls, although we let some duds through. I still tell them that they're not fit to carry a jock. Because Mike is the best, and that's just how it is. The best show. Pat is here, and he's working real hard. He's a funny guy, and everybody likes him. The phone number is 201-332-3484. You call in, and Mike will screen your call. Listen to the thing. I didn't realize the thing here. Listen to that triangle working in the background. Joey Kramer must have been going overtime on this track. I wonder if the other three guys in Aerosmith are made to feel bad all the time. Hey everybody, it's the best show. Listen to the night, to the best show. Don't you know that it's time for the best show? You look at the calendar and the clock on the wall. It's time for the best show. My name's Tom and I'm here. It's the best show. And that's how we do it every Tuesday. And it's the best show. And we're going to do it the way we always do it. So let's do it to it. Because it's time for the best show. That's right. That's how we do it on Tuesday nights. And you know it, and I know it. And since we all know it, what are we waiting for? Let's just start the show. Hey, we got a great show tonight. We got Scott Thompson is going to call in a little bit. We'll talk to him for a few minutes. I believe we'll have another guest in the world of comedy calling in. I think we might have Derek Beckles calling in, his new show, mostly for millennials. We'll talk about that. And then more stuff. And the topic is a continuation of something we were doing on our bonus best show we did over the weekend that you can only get at patreon.com/thebestshow. What was the first R-rated movie you saw and what was the first concert you saw? It was a good topic. Let's continue it. For the general populace of the Best Show audience now, we'll keep that going. And remember, the only way to support the Best Show is to go to patreon.com/thebestshow and do what you can. We appreciate all of it. And I tell you now, it's time to start the show. So let's get the show started. That's how it goes on Tuesdays. Here we go. It's time for the Best Show. So sit back, relax. Get that cold Kirkland light out on this hot July evening and sit back and enjoy another episode of The Best Show. Jersey, back again. going tonight on the best show. How are you? My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show tonight. This current installment, I will be your host on this fine, on this muggy July evening. You like it out there, Mike? It's like a swamp, huh? You'd think we would be on the bayou the way it is out there. You'd think we would come to the studio on one of those boats with a giant fan on the back. But we're not. We're here in New Jersey. Doing a Jersey style. I went to Starbucks earlier and the kid behind the counter was saying, I said something about a shirt I was wearing, and it had a design on it by Best Show artist Jeff T. Owens, and he was like, he's like, "Oh, that's a cool shirt." I was like, "Yeah, my friend Jeff did it. He's does shirt design and different things, and he does all sorts of things." He's like, "I'd like to do stuff like that." I said, "Yeah, he's down in." Down in Florida, and then he's like, "Man, I wish I could live in Florida." And I was like, "You know, it'd be really hot, like it is here today, rainy and real muggy." And he goes, and he thought I was saying that in like a positive way. He goes, "Yeah, I know." He goes, "New Jersey sucks so bad. I'd love it." I was like, "Okay, good, go. What do you want me to tell you? What's holding you back? Go throw yourself in a suitcase and just walk on an Amtrak train and zip yourself into a suitcase before the conductor finds you. Throw yourself on one of the luggage racks and you find an empty roomette and you bounce in and out of it." We just heard from Spider Bags, one of my favorite bands. New Jersey, formed in New Jersey. Spider Bags, that's right. You know, Dan McGee. Used to be in, what is, I guess, a super group now, DC Snipers. He was in DC Snipers. Spider Bags is his life's project now, musically, and that was a song called Eileen from, it was on a 7-inch, and now it is on a collection of singles called Singles, put out by Church Key Records. They comped up all the stuff, so can't go wrong with Spider Bags. They've got an album coming out on Merge next month. It will be good, and it already, I heard, we've played it on the show. It's good. It's great. You're kidding. Well, I gotta say will be. It is. If you check it out. You like that, Mike? Yeah. I know you don't usually, you might have been thrown because it wasn't 19 minutes long. And it wasn't originally based on a 2-minute rock and roll song. I'm going to tell you who it's going to be. Can't help it. Got that out of the way. Got to take a shot at the, yeah, anybody playing Best Show Bingo at home? I just made fun of the Grateful Dead. And now I'm going to ask Mike if he's had a Kirkland Light yet. Somebody might have already yelled bingo. Who's good here, Mike? Line one. Mike says line one is good. Let's check it out. Best Show, hello, hi. Man. Hi, welcome to the Best Show.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm here.
Yeah, you are. What's up?
All right. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Mike, Tom.
It's Tom.
Tom, hey, Tom. This is Nick from Indiana.
Nick, what's up, Nick?
Hey, Tom, I just went to Asheville, North Carolina, and I saw the great Kurt Vile.
Yeah. He's the best.
He was he was awesome, man. He was great. But I have a little bone to pick with Asheville, the city itself.
All right. Well, first of all, how far is Asheville from where you live now?
Well, you know, it's only about a six-hour drive. I took my wife to Western Carolina, and we had a lovely time in the mountains. But I had a friend in town, and I saw Kurt Bile playing, and I figured we're going to go into town.
Sure. And, yeah, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, Tom, it seems like they treat everybody there. If you're not, I guess, or in the circle, you're a tourist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the Major League Baseball team, their affiliate, is called the tourists, but they still treat you like garbage.
How did you get treated like garbage in Asheville, North Carolina, my friend?
Well, Tom, you know, when you walk in to like a, you know, they have a brewery about every block, right? You can't throw a stick and not hit a brewery, right? But anytime you try to walk up and be like, hey, what's the best beer to get? They kind of choose like, well, if you don't know, then you must be out of town, you know? And I'm from a town that has plenty of breweries. We got three, which I think is a reasonable number. But there's so many breweries here that I it just kind of threw me off. And so I say, what's your recommendation? And they just kind of look down at you like, well, if you don't know, then you must be a tourist.
Well, why would they care? Everybody can't be from the same place.
Exactly. So, you know, not everybody there is from Asheville, North Carolina. How can they not expect
to? Well, let me ask you a question. Could you have done anything, anything to have set them off? Be completely honest. Could you have done anything to have raised any flags?
Well, you know what? I will say this. I would say, I don't know which beer is on your menu, but just give me the one with the most alcohol, ABV, I guess.
Did
that's,
you say
that's
that?
That's the only thing I could say.
And did you say that? Did you
well,
say, give me
I don't
the
know.
Beer
I want them
beer?
To sell me on the beer, Tom.
But did you say to them, give me the beer with the highest alcohol content?
Well, after looking at their menu, I don't understand, you know, because I drink a lot of Kirkland Light, so I don't know which one is
hold
the best
on,
one.
Hold on,
you know,
wait,
for me
wait,
to do.
slow. You do drink, all seriousness, you drink a lot of Kirkland Light?
Well, Coors Light, you know, but, you know, times are tough, so I go get a Kirkland every now and again,
yeah.
Sure.
And I found with Mike, we did a taste test off the air. He could not tell the difference between Kirkland Light.
Well, a blind
Light.
Taste test, sure. I can agree with that.
Yeah. He was drinking the Kirkland Light, and he was just like, this is...
So if Mike walks into a bar, which, a bar like in Nashville, where there's snooty people behind the, you know, behind the thing, you know, and they look down at you saying, like, if you don't know what you want, you know, tell me what you want. I'd be like, well, sell me on the beer. I don't know. I didn't know how to act.
Mike, what do you make of this guy? You are a barkeep. What do you make of this guy? Mike thinks you're an idiot.
Oh, well, that's fair enough. I mean, that's probably a little bit true, but...
No, Mike said, Mike said you sound like trash. What was that again,
well,
Mike? He said you sound like trash, and that if you went into a bar he was working at, you wouldn't be walking out.
I wouldn't.
Tough
oh,
talk.
Really?
Okay.
It's
tough
okay,
talk.
I guess that's fair. I, you know.
Look, Mike's a tough barkeep.
Well, I also have a real quick one for the topic, if I can sneak it in.
Please, by all means, let's hear it.
Can I say hi to my man Matt too, though?
I wish.
I buy him an AP Mike headshot for his birthday.
Of course, and then of course you can. You bought an AP Mike headshot for your friend Matt.
Yeah, we share the same birthday, April 14th.
Okay, happy birthday to
so,
you and Matt.
For his birthday, he got a headshot of AB Mike, which he just trashed me, called me a piece of garbage. So, fair enough.
He didn't. I made that up. To be honest,
oh,
Mike didn't say that. Mike said he was on your side with it. He feels that you should be able to come in and talk and not have it.
Well, I'll make it short. My first concert was New Kids on the Block. My first R-rated movie, if you call it a movie, was Delirious by Eddie Murphy.
That would be a movie.
You call that a movie?
Sure. It was in a movie theater, right?
I don't know. I wasn't alive then when it came out. I guess you're right.
I don't know. He did a movie. Was it Raw was in the movie theater, I think he did. I don't know, but it was like an R-rated thing. The language was like toilet language.
Yeah, I had a brother that was 4 years older than me. He was 16. I was 12.
Well, tell me more about
this. I got to watch him with my buddies.
Tell me about this New Kids on the Block concert. How'd that come about?
Well, I live in a smaller town. It's about 120,000 people, and that was the biggest act in 1991, I guess.
Okay.
So I was 11, and I guess I'm pretty impressionable. And there I went down to the big city, and we went and saw New Kids on the Block.
All right.
I can't name you two songs, Tom.
Sure, you can. I know you can. You can name one.
Okay, come step on. By step.
There you go. And then you can name what's the biggest one is.
All right, fine.
Oh.
Hanging tough. Fine.
Hanging tough. Now, and then if I tell you, the right stuff. See, you named three. You did three.
Gosh dang it. I know three Dukas on. Oh, God.
You've been going around telling everybody you couldn't name two, and you named three within 15 seconds. No wonder you got thrown. No wonder you got thrown out of that bar.
I didn't get thrown out. I just want them to sell me on a chocolate beer, you know. Ooh. I guess.
Well, look, Asheville. It's a cool place. Maybe too cool for school. And you were coming off as just like a normal slob, and they didn't take kindly to a slob rolling through town. But I'll tell you this: I don't like it. You seem like a good guy. I don't like it. Shame
on
you.
Kurt Vile was off.
Oh, hold
Kurt
on.
Vile rocked the house, you know, and he was a good guy. So,
yeah, but the shame
I
on
felt
you.
Like I was a good company.
Good. Yes, you did it. All right, my friend.
All right, bud.
Have a great night. Sure, like they would talk over me. Had no problem with that. Who's on the hotline, Mike? Oh, hotline. Hotline's hot. I'm being told to go to the hotline because there's a famous person on the hotline now. Let me see. The hotline's only for... This is top-notch, this hotline. Hello? Welcome?
Hello?
Hi. Is this Scott Thompson?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome.
Good.
Welcome to the show. Thanks
Thank you.
Coming on.
It's very... I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, let's see. How about now?
Is it all over your face? Is someone trying to smother you?
No, no, I'm talking...
Oh.
What? How
is
about...
Oh, my God, it's me. Someone's trying to smother me.
Oh, no. Look out.
It's all right.
Watch. How about now? Can you hear me any better now? Is this better?
You know what? I'm going to say yes.
That's what I do all the time. I'm just like...
Yeah. I mean, even if I don't, it just... You know what? It's a placebo. Yes, I do. The placebo effect is working.
Sure. People say to me, how are you doing? And I'll just say, let's just say I'm fine.
There we go. Let's just say I hear you perfectly.
Yes, great. Well, thank you for calling in, Scott, and congratulations on all of your many accomplishments, the latest of which is your new album.
Thank you.
Not a Fan.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
And I heard it, and it's really funny.
Oh, you actually listened to it.
Of course. Amazing. I did.
Well, because, you know, in this new modern era of, like, publicity, I've been doing a ton of podcasts, and very few of them have actually listened to it. And yet, they're being on a podcast about depression or cancer, and next thing you know, they're triggering you and you're in tears. So it's a lot. So it's nice to hear that you actually did listen to it, yes.
Yeah. So you're on a thing. You're talking all about being... sick and doing all the stuff and crying, and then you're just like, yeah, I got a new album. They're like, yeah, we didn't listen to it though.
Exactly, because the album is all that stuff with all the pain, you know, filtered out, and I'm like, no, just go to the comedy.
No, the album is really great, and it is interesting to see how you took on some the themes you take on throughout it and frame it in the context of being funny, and also of you being funny doing it. It's definitely
right.
It's definitely you taking on your own life and kind of making it all funny in the way you
do
other things.
I just think that comedy, there's nothing comedy can't touch. There's nothing too dark for comedy. And if you give it enough time and you work hard enough, you'll be able to make anything seem funny.
Yeah, and look, the title track, I don't want to say what it is, but when you know the album's called,
I know what you're talking about.
If you hear the album's called Not a Fan, and then you're wondering what that is, just listen to the album, And then he'll be like, oh, my God, that's how that album...
It's the punchline, yeah.
Yes.
I like you call that the title track. I didn't realize that, but I guess it is the title track.
I didn't even think. I was just listening to it, and then it's just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, halfway through the album, the title shows. Oh, it's so funny.
Thanks.
So what is the road that takes you from all these different things to now getting on stage and doing this?
Well, you know, I've always dabbled with stand-up, but I never took it on as an actual career or an art form because it wasn't really available to a person of my ilk years ago. You couldn't really be open about who you were and the kind of comedy that I would like to do. You couldn't really stand on stage and be a gay man. It wasn't possible till very recently. And unless you wanted to, like, just work in, like, the ghetto circuit. Do you know what I mean? Like, just gay circuit. Because that could be done.
Sure. You can address your comedy to a culture and to a crowd,
yeah.
And then but you're always going to play to just that crowd.
Absolutely, yes. But now it's different. People are much more open, and I don't feel that tension anyway. And I mean, when I was at the Kids in the Hall, once I met the Kids in the Hall, that was it. I wasn't doing anything else but them for a long, long time. But when I first started out, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, but I tried it a few times, and it was a terrible experience. Both all of them, they were abusive from the audience and the comedians. And I went, I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 80s, okay? This is a very different time.
Sure.
And then I found the Kids in the Hall very soon after, and that was it. But after I got cancer 8-9 years ago, when I got better, I decided that I had nothing really to be afraid of, that life had tried to kill me over and over again, and it wasn't able to, and the world had changed enough that I could stand on stage and be myself and not hide behind a character, which I've always done, and I still continue to do, but I thought, I can do this properly, so I just thought, well, I kind of want to remake myself and be rediscovered, so I'm gonna reinvent my career, so that's what I did. I just thought, I'm going to start over again, and I was in Canada because I had to go home for the health care. Mm-hmm. And I stayed to reinvent myself because I thought, well, in Canada, even though people know me, there's no star system, so they're going to allow me to completely go back to the clubs and work in anonymity until I'm ready and an American is ready to look at me.
Sure.
So that's what I've done.
Well, it's exciting because there is such a – when you work in a group, when any kind of collaborative thing, it's mm-hmm. like there's a safety in that and there's a comfort in that mm-hmm. you know people have your back. But there's
yeah.
also that sharing of the ball that you have to
yeah.
kind of do. But for you to now just be like, yeah, I'm going out there all alone, completely exposed, but anything, there's nothing between what's in your head and what's coming out of your mouth and going to the audience. You know what I'm saying?
No, you can't blame Bruce for having an off day or Dave for being hungover or whatever. You just can't. And you can't, you know, like in a group, you can always have one person off. But when it's just you, you can't really be off. And if you are off, you have to fake it. And sometimes, that's why I think people love to see viral videos of comedians losing it. But I look at them with empathy and I go, oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, I guess because you have to, there's no looking at the other guy and just being like, yeah, I'm not in it tonight. You got to carry this.
There is a little bit of that, yes. Yeah. But we're not allowed to have bad days. But, you know, it's been a real thrill for me. I'm really enjoying it, and it's something that I've always wanted to do. Like, I mean, I've dabbled. I used to do something called On Cabaret all the time, Beth Lapidus' show, and I would do one-person shows, et cetera, but they would not be stand-up. They would be characters, then I'd go into a bit, then I'd go into another character. So they weren't stand-up. Stand-up, to me, is a very different, very pure form. Where it's just you, your personality, like a distillation of your personality in front of an audience. And it's fascinating. But because I think they're really always, the audience really kind of wants you to, they want you to succeed or really fail.
Yeah, some people want to be there for the night
yeah.
that Scott Thompson lost it and they got
yes.
to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's definitely a possibility.
Oh, I'm sure there's people who just go, it's like, hey, you know that night Michael Richards was on stage.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, if anybody was in that room, they're telling that story every night of their life. That
exactly. Lewis's career, he should have gotten a bigger career. So much joy to those people. When you really think about it, like, everybody who was in that room, it's true, is dining out on that story.
Yeah, so, for years. It's like, I got to see that. I saw that guy lose millions of dollars in front of my eyes.
Were you there?
No. I'm saying people are saying that.
I thought you were bragging.
Oh, please. Yeah. I wish I was.
I mean, that would be worth its weight in gold. And even if I was black, I'd be like, it was worth it.
Watch.
Uh-oh, gone too far.
No. Look. Now, what is the difference? When you do your Buddy Cole show, how is that different to take ideas and things and fit?
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, like, I'm pretty out there. I don't really hedge my bets. But even I'm afraid of certain things, especially in this day and age. But Buddy is not afraid of anything. He just doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. Being Buddy now is such a joy because I get to say whatever I want, and if people are offended, I just move on. And it's like, it's a character. So they allow him to do a lot more. And I also think that, sure, like, I'm a white man, and white men aren't allowed to say anything, but I'm a gay man. And I'm not just a gay man, I'm an older gay man. So my generation had it so bad. Like, we suffered like hell. So in this new world of, like, who suffered the most, we kind of win. So it gives me this freedom that no white man in comedy in my generation has. And it's a thrill, and it's weird. I feel bad, but I'm like, wow. Oh, man, this is great. But Buddy can do anything. And everybody says to me, you can't say that. You can't say that. But I go, but I just did. And the person that you would think would be offended is the one laughing the most. So that's why that I'm onto something. I really feel that the public is really wanting this kind of tiptoeing around in comedy to end. I sure do.
Yeah, I think there's an adjustment. Things need to shake out in certain ways, and people... I'm glad people are speaking up and saying things that where they never had a voice, but there's also, it's just the line is being defined while we're living with the line being defined.
I am one of those people that has been denied a voice in many ways. I've never been able to go to that next level. And when I say it's gone too far, people should listen to when a minority says it's gone too far.
Yeah, no, look, you were in the trenches on this.
I was first through the door. So I'm wounded. I'm missing a leg. So I get to say a few things.
Exactly. And you can do it the way with Buddy. It's almost like a ventriloquist act where people, they blame it on the dummy. These guys, when the ventriloquist, it's like, hey, you can't say that. This audience is, these are nice people. You can't talk that way to them.
Buddy, unlike me, like, I still have that wall between my emotions and my comedy. It's amorphous. It can be breached. And when that wall is breached, usually, in my mind, in comedy, when emotion breaches the wall, it destroys comedy. But Buddy's wall is as thick as the wall Trump wants to build. Like, it's impenetrable. So it's like, no matter what, he can't be thrown because he separated it. So, like, he separated his emotions and his thinking. So clearly that it's funny because if it was me and I got in trouble or I said something that might have gone too far, I might feel like a lurch in my stomach. But not Buddy. All Buddy hears is the word is charge.
Yeah, and you just go. Yeah, everybody else is going the other way, and Buddy's
exactly what into the breach.
Everybody else is running away. Well, that's exciting. That's an exciting thing, and it's a thing that you can go back to over and over. They have this character that grows with you throughout your life. You have this.
It really is. I go, fuck, I can't believe I waited all this time for this, and it just feels like, oh, this is the perfect time for me. I mean, it would have been nice if I was younger, but you know what? I think I'm just really enjoying it now in a way that I wouldn't have.
Exactly. Now at least you have some appreciation for things, and it's just.
Yeah.
it's just like you, when you realize that there's not an infinite amount of times at bat, I think then you appreciate every time at bat.
Absolutely. Which is weird because in comedy, everyone's like, so many comedians are like just, they're so sad about everything, they can't function. I'm like, I don't really feel like that because for me it's like, I've been through such a rocky, life that now I feel like my plane is just, you know, cruising altitude. I'm into the light. So I'm having the time of my life. Sure. It feels bad to say it, but I'm having a great time.
You're allowed to, but think about this. It's like when you think of the people who, where their thing popped, and look, you had a lot of success with Kids in the Hall at a very young age.
Absolutely.
And there's a whole interesting thing with that of something defining you at such a young age that you kind of...
Yes, I was in my 20s,
That kind of follows you. And there's something, look, there's something nice that people care about a thing that long.
Oh, and I'm proud of it, yes.
Yeah, that you can, exactly. It's something you're proud of that they care about. There's kind of nothing better than, you can't ask for more than that, to have a thing that you like doing... Yeah. They care about you guys, can all go back to it and then go do your own things and kind of regather when the time is right. But there's something that it wasn't like the world's most, it wasn't like a show, it wasn't like In Living Color where it was like 40 million people were watching it.
No. Everything, all five of us as a group and as individuals have all been solidly cult.
Yeah, and but you've been able to. You I think another thing when you realize when you start getting older, you realize there's people who hit their thing hot early, and then now they're just in the shadow of the thing forever.
Absolutely,
but you get to kind of go up a step each time through your whole life. It's like that's infinite. That sounds like that's the better deal every way.
Right? And yet you don't realize that. When I was young, I just thought, I want to be a superstar. And I was furious that it didn't happen. I'm just furious that because of who I was, it didn't stop me from going to that next level that I felt I should go to. But now I look at those people that in my generation of comedians and actors that did very, very well and became huge. And I see them now struggling to remain relevant. You know what I mean? Struggling to apologize for their money and their power. And I'm going, I don't have to do any of that.
No, you're in it, and you're a valid creative force now.
Pardon me?
You're a valid creative force at this point in your life. They wish they could have that again.
Well, it's true. I don't think I'm kidding myself, but I kind of go, I'm kind of relevant. I don't have to. It's weird.
No, it's great.
And that's thrilling. And I look at so many people with all their money and power and giant homes and go, God, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I wouldn't trade where I am for the world.
No, it's really an exciting thing because you're here for the thing that made you want to do it in the first place, which was being funny, being creative, and that's still why you're
and learning
here.
Something new and learning new skills and still just trying to like be part of the conversation. That's all I ever really wanted, and I feel like I'm on the verge of it happening again, or maybe for the first time ever, really. It's real.
No, it's a very exciting thing, and this is something it did not come easy, but
No, of course not.
But it's where you're at. You took your lumps. You're riding the ride.
You know what? Yeah. You don't know what people have suffered. You can't tell. You have no idea what anyone's been through. You just have no idea.
Because, look, I got this guy who screens calls for me out there. This guy, Mike. He's falling apart, right? I think it's a polite way of saying it. Mike, is that fair to say? He's still mad that the Grateful Dead broke up. He's been lost ever since Jerry Garcia died. He's been lost.
Right.
But it's like 20 years now. This guy's been adrift. But not like. But that's not where you're at. You're at a place.
I got over the Grateful Dead. I was angry that the Grateful Dead were formed originally. That's what made me furious.
He's gonna be mad now. I'm gonna have to calm him down for 20. Because you said that it's gonna be a half hour after the show of me talking him down from you saying you're mad the Grateful Dead formed. Mike, Scott didn't mean that. he said. And he's out there. You know what he's drinking tonight? Kirkland Light. Do you know what that? That's the beer they sell at Costco. So this is
I'm
where I'm
hard time hearing you.
Yeah. So now you wish you couldn't hear me. Well, Scott, look, this is such a joy to have you call in and be a part of this. And
thank you. Yes. You know, Tavy Phillips, who's the queen of the kids in the hall. I'm sure she's listening. I don't know. Are you live? You're not live, are you? Are you?
Oh yes, we're live. She's listening. Right. Tavy's great.
And begging me to do it, so I thought I'm gonna do it.
No,
I've heard tons about it, so I'm thrilled I'm finally doing it.
She's awesome. Kevin did it a couple years ago. Now you're in, so we're going down the checklist. And thank you for doing that. And the album is really funny. It's called Not a Fan. And what is the label? Comedy Dynamics?
Comedy Dynamic, yeah.
Yeah, it's really great, and people should listen to it. And where can people find out what you're doing?
On iTunes.
Okay, people get it on iTunes. Are you going around? Yep. Are you doing shows?
Yes, I will. I'm going to Montreal tomorrow, actually, for Just for Laughs for 7 days.
Okay, so people keep an eye out.
I'll be doing the Buddy Cole show at Près le Déluge for a week.
It's really exciting, and I'm so glad you're where you're at right now, and it's all deserved.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, you take care, and we will talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
That was exciting. How was that, Mike? I'm sorry I sold you out with him. You're not the Drift since the Grateful Dead broke up. Why do I do that? Why did I do that? Mike, can you come in here? I want to apologize to your face for that. Why did I do that? Why did I say that, Mike? I'm small. You know why I'm a small person? I'm a bully. It's a bullying technique.
Yeah.
I apologize. Here, you know what? Seriously. Here's $10. Here's $10. That's for the... He took it. I didn't think he was going to take it. Yeah, Tavy's great. Tavy runs all this Kids in the Hall stuff online. And, yeah, that was nice. His album's really funny. It's really, it's stunningly filthy also. It's like, the album is like, it was... In a couple spots, it's breathtakingly dirty, and it was very funny. Yeah. Somebody said, I think if Tom wanted to, he could do a fresh air type interview show. Yeah, I could. This is the thing people don't realize. I'm going to say this. These interview shows... There's only a few people who are good at that. Mark Maron's good at it. But all these other people, they're not good at it. They're bad at it. They're bad. They're really... I'm listening to Sirius Radio, which I probably should get removed from my car at this point. I'm listening, and there's a channel on it called Volume, which is like, it's music talk. It's not music. It's talk about music. So naturally, all the heavyweights get shows on this. Like, Mark Goodman has a show on it. I've heard him say, gems like, that when they were listing the top five bands from the top five California bands of all time, Mike, you know who he put in his top five of California bands? Fleetwood Mac. No, there's two. There's been 19 people in that band from England. And then just because two of them joined 8 years into the band, two non-British people join. That was his top five California bands of all time. So, look, the channel's a disaster. And they play these interviews. Everyone's got an interview show on this. And some of them are good. It's like, but like Melissa Etheridge has an interview show on this thing. And she started off saying like, and look, she seems like a nice person. But she's just like, I want to just, the intro of the show is she's like, it's important that we honor musicians. It's like, oh, by all means, that's what's been missing is musicians being put on a pedestal. That's what's been missing from music is some sort of worship dynamic with musicians. So you're like, well, she must have a great guest on, of course, if this is how she has a Timothy B. Schmidt on. This loser, this wet noodle who was in the Eagles. Was he in Poco also? This guy's the worst. Hi, it's me, Timothy B. Schmidt, right? So, I'm listening to them talk. The one guy, the Timothy B. Schmidt, he starts talking about, I had the picture from my record taken in Hawaii. Starts talking about, like, Hawaii. Well, this is very, very relatable. And she's talking about which island in Hawaii. And they're like, and then he's like, I had Jim Keltner play on my album. And she's like, oh, Jim Keltner played on one of my records. And he's like, I ran into Rick Rubin and told him that Jim Keltner was. It's like, what? What is this? Name drop bingo? First of all, it was an indictment of the state of California. It made the state of California seem like a repellent to me that on any given day I could run into Timothy B. Schmidt or Rick Rubin. And I told Rick that Jim Keltner was going to be playing on my album, and he said, Don't tell him what to do. Just let him do what he's got. Oh, so uninteresting. These interviews, it's not hard. It's not easy to do. You got Alec Baldwin doing an interview. Got to listen to that windbag. He just wants to interview himself. Today on the Alec Baldwin interview show, I'll be interviewing myself, but there will be another person sitting in the room. There will be a conduit to the conversation I'm going to have with myself, about myself. Now, I could do an interview. It's nice of you to say. I could do a Fresh Air show. And who does Fresh Air is Terry Gross. She's not very good either. That's not very good. She's very good. She's better than most of these people. She's still not great. Nah, she's fine. Why am I picking on her? She's fine. Just the NPR tood I can't handle anymore. These eggheads. Can't handle eggheads. The world's got too many eggheads in it. Too many eggheads. Best show, hi.
Hey, hello, Tom. How's it going?
Good, good. Who's this?
It's Kevin in Phyllis Hills, Pennsylvania. How's it going tonight?
What's up, Kevin? What do you got playing? But what's on the TV in the background there? What's going on?
Sorry about that.
No, what is it?
Just I think I turned it down. It was Jurassic Park, The Lost World on Showtime.
Yeah. Call the best show or watch Jurassic Park 2. I'll do both.
Sorry about that.
What are you, an app? You're opening multiple apps? What are you, Intel? You allow for multiple apps to be open?
No, on the TV.
Was this an episode of You Must Remember This with an Intel commercial at the beginning of it?
I got that in one of my headphones, yeah. Should be hearing the MailChimp ad in a second. I had one for the topic, the first R-rated movie, and then you guys were also talking about cinnamon raisin bagels on Sunday, like someone ordering a sandwich on a cinnamon raisin bagel.
Because we were, let me say first, we started this topic, first R-rated movie or first concert you saw. We did a bonus show on Sunday, best show. We did it live, and it's only available on Patreon now, patreon.com/thebestshow. It's for people who contribute to the Patreon, and you can get it there. And, yeah, you can get it. And first of all, somebody says, this Perry Shao, who does this band Hound, wants to know, can I rank the Eagles best to worst? Yeah, here's the list. Joe Walsh, number one. The rest of the Eagles, number two. That's it. That's the entire thing right there. It's Joe Walsh and then the rest of the Eagles. So,
do you put Glenn Fry's son in there at all now that he's sort of
Deacon
a member?
Fry? This is Glenn Fry. This is how demented that guy was. He named his son after Sherman Helmsley's character on the show Amen, Deacon Fry. A weirdo.
That's messed up.
I tell you, you hear things about. I'm not saying. What's his face? Who's the other guy in the Eagles?
Don Henley.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything, but you hear things.
Oh, he's a famous load, right? A real.
You hear things. We'll see. You hear things. We'll see. We'll see. So we'll see where we're at this time next year. So go ahead. So you go. What's the R-rated movie now?
Well, I don't necessarily remember the first R-rated movie I saw, period, but the first one I ever snuck into was a pretty embarrassing experience. It was Zach and Miri make a. Can I say porno?
Yeah, you just did, and you could say it anyway.
It was Zach and Miri make a porno, and we had to like sneak in. I think we bought tickets for Fighting with Channing Tatum, and it was the only time I ever experienced like Usher's.
Wait, hold on.
Like,
what movie did you buy tickets for?
Zach and Miri make a porno.
No, but what movie did you buy tickets? You bought tickets for a different movie, and then snuck into Zach and Miri.
Yeah, I think it was Fighting with Channing Tatum. I can't
fighting.
Be sure though.
Yeah, one for Fighting, please.
Yeah, they should have known. They knew immediately, I think, that no one was paying to see that.
Yeah. Zach and Miri. And look, this Kevin Smith. I'm glad the guy. I hope he's healthy. I want this guy to stay around for 100 years. Look, is he evil? No, he's not evil. Is he my cup of tea? No, he's not. But I don't root against him. I hope he lives for 100 more years. Well, not 100 more. That'd be weird.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of Canada movies.
149 years old. What's that, Mike? He's having another live event in Red Bank. Someone please tell me when it is so I can not be in Red Bank. What's he doing at the thing at the theater? What's he going to run his movies or something? What if I send you? Why don't you go, Mike? You're in the family. Mike's in the family. Mike's in the View Askew family. He was in. Mike had a pretty prominent role in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Did you know that? Mike acted in that. Did you know that young man on the phone?
No, I did not. He's really in it.
He is. He acts in the comic book store. Mike's in a scene in that because Mike used to fight with Kevin Smith online all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Mike fought with him, and then Kevin Smith, maybe showing that he's not a bad guy, says, hey, Mike, why don't you be in the movie?
Oh, that's pretty nuts. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
You know how much Mike got paid for that? $130,000.
Oh, wow. Jeez, yeah. That's
130 grand.
that I make in a decade.
And you know what he did with that money? He took it right to Atlantic City. He bet it on roulette, and he lost. He left the casino. So you bought tickets for fighting and then sneaked into Zach and Miri make a porno.
Yes, yeah. And I don't know if they had like kids sneaking in before, but like ushers actually came in and made a beeline right toward us.
And what did you do?
I spilled my drink over my e-cigarette links first.
No, it's not you. Is it you? Was that him, Mike? Was that him? Did that just happen? You know what? It did just happen. That was e-cigarette. Oh, my God. I fell for that one. Mike, was that him? I'm pretty sure it was him. Oh, my goodness. How about that? E-cigs for legs just got me. Guy gets me. He got me right in the wake of Scott Thompson. This guy's crafty. He's crafty. Guy got me. We also, I should just say, Dudio's not here tonight. He's under the weather, and I hope he feels better. We all hope Dudio feels better. We love you, Dudio. Well, not all of us, but I do. And Pat does. you can chart that one out, Dudio, to figure out who's not in the loves Dudio category. You order that pizza, Pat? Yeah, e-cigs for legs guy called. Got past Mike. Got past me. He got me. Yeah, don't worry about that, Pat. We got the guy. Best show, hi.
Tom?
Yes?
Hi, this is Mike in Minneapolis.
Mike in Minneapolis. What's up, Mike?
Oh, not much. Doing some dishes, hanging out with my cat.
Doing some dishes and hanging out with your cat.
Yep.
I hope you're not getting cat hair all over the dishes. That'd be disgusting.
That would be disgusting.
Or suds on your cat.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be happy about that.
Neither would be good, right?
Yeah, right. I do have something for each portion of the topic this evening.
Well, what's that now? The e-cigarettes for let? I got you. I got him. Mike, I got him.
You got me.
No, go ahead. Go. What do you got?
Well, I'm currently looking at a ticket stub for October 7th, 1983.
Let me see if I can guess. October 7th, 1983. Yes. Mike, how old is Mike in 1983? Where are we at now?
I was 6.
Okay, I can't guess this then. Just go ahead.
Well, this was at the Rockford Metro Center in Rockford, Illinois, and I went and saw Styx on the Mr. Roboto tour.
Yeah, the Kilroy Was Here tour where they did their act, where they acted on stage.
Yeah, and they showed the movie beforehand and everything.
And they did. I'm sorry, somebody made me laugh. They wrote that Kevin Smith is doing a reading of Dogma at Surf Taco, which is a restaurant at Taco Place in Red Bank. Got me. Nothing like Red Bank humor to make the Nyko a little faster. So that's the show where that was the finale of Dennis DeYoung in Styx, because that was his version of The Wall, where he's like, right. I'm writing a concept album too. And then this will be my version of The Wall. And then he did this Mr. Roboto thing, which is the dumbest thing you ever heard in your life. And yeah. He's just he basically killed the band.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the band is on stage acting.
Yes.
And people are going to see Styx. Who wouldn't you want to see do a basically a live play other than Styx? And then at the end of the thing, how much of this do you remember, Mike?
Well, at six, I remember loving the song Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
And so my dad bought tickets, you know, my single dad, he took me, and I remember the movie screen came down and I became very excited, and I don't know if I could actually follow the plot of, you know, the whole premise of the fascist theocracy, you know, banning music or whatever, but I was just so excited that they were showing a movie. But I do remember thinking, now looking back, the Rockford Metro Center was not a large arena. You know, it wasn't like a 14,000 seater. I'm sure it's, you know, it was 5,000 or 6,000. I do remember thinking, there's a lot of empty seats here.
Yeah, that tour bombed hard. If you watch, think there's like a behind the music or whatever for Styx.
Right.
Yeah, that tour was bad news, man.
But this 6-year-old loved it, and it set me off on my career of loving live music. So at least it had that going for it.
Yeah. And then you just, do you remember the rock and roll medley at the end?
I don't. I think I got fairly sleepy at the end. I do remember them acting things out and it not making any sense to me. I remember that the drummer mooned the crowd at some point and everybody cheered, and I thought that was odd.
Who wouldn't want to see that? Let me ask you a question. Where are you from, Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm from Rockford originally, but I've been up in Minneapolis for 20 years.
Let me ask you, you have some Midwestern wisdom, huh? Right?
Yeah.
Why would I sell Mike out in front of Scott Thompson like that? Why would I make up a thing that Mike has been adrift for 20 years? Why? I paid the guy $10. I'm a little stunned he took it. He did not look back. He's out there gorging on pizza and he's got $10 in his pocket. That's fine though. It's a price of doing business, I guess. Why would I do? I want to correct myself, though. I want to make myself better. I just want to pay my way out of these mic holes I get in.
I do have a hypothesis about that, actually.
What's that? Was I trying to be a big man? Was I trying to be a big man in front of Scott Thompson?
I think it doesn't actually have anything to do with Mike at all.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that you are genuinely somewhere deep within you. You're actually becoming a Grateful Dead fan, and body is rejecting this idea.
But wouldn't I need to listen to the Grateful Dead to become a fan? I don't do that. I can nip that one in the bud. When you're a fan of something, you listen to it.
Well, I don't know. You talk about them an awful lot. I know you make fun of the song titles.
Yeah, imagine if we were in a world where people only talked about things they like. Right? Imagine, you might want to go on Twitter sometime and check out and see if anybody, the things that people talk about, see if any of them are things they like. Not me, baby. The only thing I listen to these days, there's one person and one person only.
And who's that?
Elizabeth Grant.
Oh.
A.K.A. Lana Del Rey.
Oh.
My favorite.
I see. I've been listening to a lot of Courtney Burnett.
She's great.
She is.
Yeah.
I do have the movie portion if I still have your ear.
All right. What do you got?
So also my single father took me to see in 1986, so I was probably 9. We went and saw Platoon in the theater.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great movie for us. How old were you? How old were you now?
9.
9. Yeah.
Yeah. He took me to see Fatal Attraction the next year.
Oh, great. Great job, Pops. Yeah. Did he know about? Does he know? Did your father know about those letters that they put on each movie? that kind of give you a heads up about what you're getting into?
You know, I think my dad loves to go see movies. To this day, he still probably sees at least one movie a week. And I think if a movie that he wanted to see was opening that weekend and it happened to be the weekend that I was with him, he just took me.
Sure, he would be just like, I sure want to see this Michael Douglas thing where he, yeah, but I got Mike. Yeah, he'll roll with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the scene of the, in Platoon where they, you know, decimate that village and everybody, and then, yeah, the boiling of the rabbits and all that, I don't think that those things did good things to me as a young child.
No, that's rough stuff. your dad's still around?
He is.
You should talk to him. Talk to him about it, and then, you know what, get him to call the show. Get him to call in. I want to talk to him about this. Maybe that's an idea. Look, here's an idea. Pat, write this down. A show where I call, where you get your parents to, you tell me what your beef is with your parents, right? And then I blast them. I blast them for the, I speak on your behalf to your parents about the thing, like you took him to see a Platoon when he was 9. And I'll just go, what were you thinking? Right? I'll just say, come on, Dad, what were you thinking?
I think that's brilliant.
Well, maybe you could be the first one. See if your dad will call.
My concern would be if you called my dad, I think the only thing he would be willing to talk about is the current state of political affairs, and I don't think that would work well on the show.
Well, we're not talking about that. Is he unable to talk about anything else in the world?
It almost seems that way.
Yeah, well, tell him to grow up. Seriously, you know, you can talk about something other than politics is on the front burner. It's not literally the only thing going. You can talk about another thing for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you have it within your ability. You have it to talk about something that isn't politics for 5 minutes. You tell your dad to call. This is what you do, Mike. You tell your dad to call and you say he's not talking about politics. He wants to talk to you about taking me to the movies when to see Platoon when I was 9.
All right.
All right, Mike.
Well, when that becomes a topic, I will do my best to make that happen.
You have a great night.
You too.
Bye. My baby's all in shades of cool.
He drives a Chevy Malibu, and when he calls for me, not for you. He lives for love, he loves his drugs, he loves his baby too.
It's good stuff, man. You gotta roll with it. Just like Steve Winwood said, roll with it. Remember when he told us that? To roll with it. Boop. Boop, boop, boop. Best show.
Yo, Tom, it's Greg.
Greg.
What's going on?
Oh, wait, Greg?
How many Gregs do you know?
Yeah, this is... basketball Greg?
Of course it's Basketball League Greg.
Yeah.
Okay. A little insulting.
Sure. Well, for people... I don't think we've ever spoken on the show, have we, Greg?
I don't know. I've never called in. I don't want to. I mean, I'm a fan, mm-hmm. but you don't need to know. Well, I guess you know it now, but you know, during the games, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bring it up.
Yeah, this
you know, I don't want that to affect the performance of our basketball team, the Rollins Bands.
Yes, and this is the guy. We are in a league together, like a Saturday morning kind of thing. And yeah, so what's up, Greg?
Well, first of all, I did I not tell you Trump would not get owned by Putin, right?
You called
it yesterday.
You called it.
I think he's made the turn. I think from here on out it's smooth sailing. I'm not sure if you saw Trump's body language yesterday, but totally on the mark. Looks strong, not at all subservient.
Yeah. Not in any way, he did not in any way look like somebody learning to operate a marionette.
Exactly.
For the first time.
Well, you know, when you first start, you know, learning how to operate a marionette, you sit on the very edge of your large chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like you're on the toity, but, you know, that commands power, and that gives you all the space you need to operate the marionette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it helps, and you need a very long tie, of course.
I like the tie. Look, I do like the ties.
Yeah.
I don't always agree with them. Not always. Yeah. I don't always.
No one wears them longer. No one wears them longer.
They are, and I think it's great because I think they're like the bags, the produce bags at the grocery store.
Yes.
They're like, I think there's like a spool of tie behind him.
Oh, yeah.
That he just pulls for the next one.
Yep, he just pulls it down and there's a little blade. Cuts it off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the hard part is those jackets. The ties are the easy part of his wardrobe. Mm-hmm. I heard, and this sounds plausible, that Putin does not have anything compromising on Trump. Trump is doing this to gain access to Russia's finest and largest sports coats. They make them differently over there.
He wants in to whatever, like, men's warehouse is over there?
Yes, but I guess, you know, for his coats, it's, I think, I'm not sure what the Russian is, but it's men's warehouse maximum.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, look, well, he's playing chess, 3D, 4D chess.
He's going to win. He's going to come out on top.
Mm-hmm. But look, what I wanted. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay. Greg. Well, here's what I do want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Tom?
Yeah.
Grab your stuff.
Oh.
We're going to Montauk.
Uh-huh. No.
We are.
Greg, stop with this.
What?
Stop. You know what it
We're
is.
Going.
It's like once a year. Once a year the call comes in where you call me, and it's generally late. This is actually on the early side of things.
It kind of is, yes. Yeah.
And it's always just like we're doing it. We're going on the thing. There's always some ambitious.
They're always great ideas.
They're these multi-hour, endless overnight drives that you plot out, and then it's like we're doing it, and you know how it always ends.
No, how does it end?
With me, I am always stuck waiting for you to pick me up.
Right.
And, you know, and then like midnight, you always fall asleep and don't show up for whatever adventure it's going to be.
Oh, you know, yeah, I think maybe I did that once.
No,
maybe.
This is a thing. This is once or twice a year this goes down.
We can argue about that all night, but mm-hmm. Check it out.
Yeah.
Wipe all of that from your memory banks, all right? This
uh-huh.
is a flawless plan that is guaranteed to yield maximum fun, okay?
All right.
And look, I know you have to be in New York City by 10:30 a.m. tomorrow for that huge job interview, all right? I know that, okay? So it's just 3.5 hours out to Montauk. maybe 4 on the way back because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be early in the morning. But here's what we do, all right? Cancel that half hour of power thing, all right? I mean, these mutants aren't going to die if they don't get one this week, right?
Sure, okay. So cancel that.
Cancel that.
Mm-hmm.
I get off work at 10:30, okay? I run home, splash my face,
mm-hmm.
take a 35-minute disco nap, uh-huh. wake up fresh,
sure.
splash my face again.
Of course.
Jump in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I swing by your studio, pick your ass up, and, but you know, I will not have gotten a chance to eat after work, so we'll have to stop at Los Amigos and get some grub to go. No, sure. I'd rather eat it there, I think.
Okay, so you
want to
sit.
That'd be a good start to the night.
Sure.
Okay, then we go to the gas bag for fuel and, like, I don't know, 8 of those 6-hour energy drinks.
Mm-hmm. So we pound and a then bunch we just, of those.
Yeah. We probably don't do more than 5 at a time.
Uh-huh.
And then we get in the car. We Hall A out there. We listen to this Inside Jaws podcast. Have you heard this thing?
Inside Jaws. No, I haven't.
It's about the making of Jaws.
Okay.
Really good stuff. Pretty scary. Pretty scary. They, remember the incident it's kind of inspired by where those kids were just swimming in Jersey in like a little pond by the beach and the shark got in there?
Is that what it is?
That's dramatically recreated in this thing.
In audio.
All, yeah, that's what a podcast is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bring a TV set with us in the car.
No, I understand that.
Okay. Well, then, we can also crank tunes and shoot the S.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have to stop in Hicksville so I can pick up this stuff for this guy. This guy's having a party on Montauk. They'll go really late, all right? And I have to give this guy the stuff that guy gave me.
Sure,
and then
the stuff.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah, let's just stop off and get some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and then after we get that stuff, we stop in Watermill at this restaurant called the Crustacean Station.
Uh-huh.
And they serve, it's all-you-can-eat late-night fried shrimp. It's called late-night fried shrimp, which I don't know what it means, but it's got to be good, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. So you don't know a whole lot about it, but...
No, it's supposed to be great.
Uh-huh.
And I've also been told that this place will render irrelevant any previous fried shrimp you've ever eaten.
Okay.
Okay. And they also have a late-night card game that I want to get in a few hands on. And
sure,
I think
sure.
you should, too. Do you play?
Do I play cards? Not yeah. particularly, no. That's not my thing.
Okay. All right, maybe you will be like my spy, all right? Like you stand behind the guy that's like my rival in the game.
Sure.
And then you
sure.
give me, we'll map out like, I don't know, 30 signals, like you touch your nose 4 times.
Oh, yeah, then, like, yeah, maybe yeah, that'll, yeah, sure.
Yeah, maybe you do your tooth. Nothing too loud. I think a tooth is loud enough. Like do it 6 times. Mm-hmm. If like he has hearts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Don't count out loud, though.
Okay, so I tap my tooth the amount of time. Okay, sure.
Yeah,
so we're
maybe with a nail, like a building nail.
Like, so I'll just have a nail like it's a toothpick.
Exactly.
But I
yeah.
have a nail in my mouth.
Perfect, and that conveys toughness too, because these might be some bad dudes.
Sure. So by all means, let's go into a situation that we have no knowledge of. And I'll be the one who looks like I'm helping you cheat.
I think that works. I think that's fine.
Okay, so we're, yeah. then we'll jump in on the card game. Then what else is on the docket? This
okay.
tight, this oh, this over ambitious.
No, it's perfectly workable. It's going to be, we have it down to the second, all right? So this party in Montauk, it's still going to be raging when we get there by like 3:30?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, there's going to be major league FPs at this thing, you know? I bet you can pitch a few things. You still doing those cool voices and accents?
A little bit, yeah.
Cool. So, I think you can get something going at this thing.
Oh, okay. So after you... after you run the table at this card game.
Right.
Then we go to a party, and I'm going to just start pitching people on.
Yes.
Okay.
And we all know that people love to get pitched stuff at like 3:30 in the morning.
Sure, and those things are always very. Everybody remembers every part of it too.
Very lucid, very lucid.
Yeah, nobody will say anything that they didn't exactly mean.
No, absolutely not. No, if that person says they're literally in love with the idea.
Yeah.
They're in love with that idea in the next morning.
Sure. So when they say we're doing that.
Yes.
We're doing that.
Guaranteed green light.
Take it to the bank. Okay, gotcha.
Yes, yeah, yes. So we party for like, I think an hour should do it. Then we take the ferry to Newark, Connecticut, all right? And we stop at this place that has the best first donuts of the day.
Sure,
so good.
Sure.
Coffee, super yummy. We zip on to 95. We stop at this great breakfast place I know in Bayside.
Uh-huh.
We fill our faces with eggs.
Yeah.
We come back to the car.
Mm-hmm.
We take a 20-minute morning disco nap, wake up refreshed, splash water on our faces. We get to New York. We power down the FDR. I drop you off at your Trump interview in the Village at 10:28.
Okay. Well, that's a good 2 minutes then. I have 2 minutes to myself.
Yeah, well, okay, well, how about this? Maybe 10 minutes before that 2 minutes, you take another little nap, wake up fully refreshed, splash some water on your face, and then you're extra good to go.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, no, this is exactly how it should go.
Good, I knew you would be in.
Yeah, let's. No, this sounds great. And Greg, you always have these things that they're so ambitious, so overly planned. We're fitting everything in, and they never happen.
Well, I don't know what alternate reality you've been living in, but tonight you can bank on it.
No, so because. This you've pitched me these things before, and there's some version of what you're talking about right now. But so this is happening now.
This is happening. All right, I will be there 11:50 on the dot, before midnight on the dot.
Okay, so 11:50, you're gonna roll up to the studio.
Yep.
All right,
Tom, grab your stuff. We're going to Montauk.
Sure. Okay. All right. 11:50. Greg? He hung up. I guess he's getting ready for the thing. And I'm going to get ready for the thing by playing a little bit of the music. He rocked Asheville, North Carolina. And now he's going to rock you. Kurt Vile.
Looking at you, but it's only a picture, so I take that back, but it ain't really a picture, it's just an image on the screen.
Kurt Vile. Wild Imagination from his most recent album, Believe I'm Going Down, came out a couple years ago on Matador. KV's working on new stuff. You ready, Mike? New KV, new Kurt Vile. I love it. Can't wait. That's my guy. The other one, they all pretend. The rest of them are pretenders, Mike. Me and KV, that goes deep. And also, Kickstarter, speaking of KV, Kurt Vile's brother, Jell-O Man. Last hours to support the Jell-O Man Kickstarter. Jell-O Man, If You Will, a film about the Philly legend. 10 hours to go with the Kickstarter so this movie gets made. Looks like they made their goal. Congratulations to Jell-O Man, but if you, there's good perks to sign up for, and if you go to the Kickstarter for that, and he's an interesting guy. I did see a Twitter account somebody had started saying Jell-O Man is not a Philadelphia legend. Someone actually going out of their way to call out Jell-O Man. That's when you know you made it, baby, when they call you out. I'm being told to go to the hotline. I'm being told on the hotline we have a star. They're calling us a star on the hotline to go right away. Is this Derek Beckles on the hotline?
This is Derek Beckles.
Oh, my goodness. As I live and breathe. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. Now, for people who don't know who this guy is one of these smart guys. And he did a show called Hot Package, right? Was that what it was? Hot Package?
Yeah, yeah. And
that was a really funny show. But that was on Adult Swim. That show's now has been left in the dust by this new show he's got. This new show, it's called Mostly for Millennials, and it's the number 4. Mostly for Millennials, and it's on Adult Swim. It started a couple weeks ago, and I will say this show, it upset me when I watched it.
Good.
I was horrified, and these are compliments. I mean, these are actually...
Yeah.
There's no way you can't... that you'd be like, what? You were horrified by it?
I'm clutching my pearls right now.
Yes. No, this show is, it's one of those shows that it's really funny and it's just upsetting at the same time, but it's just like, man, it's still funny though. I can't help. And then sometimes you're laughing and you don't want to laugh at it. And then other times you're just laughing because you're laughing. It's just, it's so unrelenting, the pace of it. Because the show, how would you describe the show? I'll let you talk now, Derek.
Oh, no, you were doing great. I was like, I'm going to have died and gone to see the Melvins.
How about, yes, died.
I think this show is it's a fever dream. It's just like a fever dream, and it's like that corporate desperation of like trying to be cool, and it's also just like ethically and morally bankrupt. It's fantastic.
Yes, because it is. Yeah. It is like it's like a high tech talk show, which is for millennials, which. I don't think you're a millennial, if I...
No, I'm 20.
But it's you, and you've got blonde hair.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're kind of done up as this, like, bizarre, like, mutant young person.
It's like, when Eric and I were thinking about the... what to do with my look.
And this is Eric Andre, for people who don't know. He's the co-creator of this with you?
Yeah, he's like co-producing. He produces it with me, and I created it. It's basically an extension of Totally for Teens. I did that years ago.
Yes.
So it's a combination of like what we... Because I run on Eric's show, too, so it's a combination of what we do on Eric's show and... a combination of Totally for Teens, but it's like, yeah, we decided on this look where I'm like It's like Chris Brown and Guy Fieri were like just smushed together into like an unrelenting human being.
Yeah, it's such a you're and it's so punishingly bright. The show is like, because it's like if you think about the Eric Andre show, the first season especially was shot like in like standard def, like it was shot on like. And even when they moved to high def, it still looked like kind of dreary. It just had like everything was dreary and kind of dull color scheme wise on it. This show is like gives you a slight headache from the from how bright it is.
Yeah, it's like cocaine K-pop. It's just like overly vibrant and super bright and happy, but the audience in the show, and they're like just this bloodthirsty mob. It's great. We just kind of combined all these things that we kind of feel like. We also just feel like it's kind of like it's just kind of a mirror to what's going on right now with everything.
Yeah,
everything's just like so schizophrenic and everybody's lost their mind. It feels like so.
But it's funny because on the surface it's like goofing on kids, but it's really
I feel like it is,
but it's also goofing on people that take advantage of kids.
Exactly. It's like we never wanted to, and I don't think it does, but it's not supposed to be this kind of like, I can't believe what you kids were doing when I was a kid. We made more sense than you, because it's like, no, we didn't.
No, there's none of that. I mean, it's making fun of just the rapid technology and all the stuff like that. But there's but the underlying thing is like this. It's like, well, these kids did not make all these things. They're just participating in these things. It's like horrible older people made these things, and these kids are like prisoners of this.
Yeah, and then they have the balls to complain about it. Like the people who created all this, all these monstrosities, they're like, I can't believe this is going on. It's like, you made it.
Yeah. You've just enslaved these kids and they have no say in it anymore almost because
it's like making Frankenstein and then getting mad at him for how he dresses and his breath being bad.
Yeah. It's now the show. How many episodes did you do of it?
We made eight. We made eight episodes for the first season.
And it's airing on Sunday nights, Adult Swim. Is it on midnight?
At midnight. Yeah.
And the DJ on the show was a real get, which I was legitimately thrilled to see.
Yeah.
Fred Durst is the.
We got Fred Durst.
And how did that come about? How did you get Fred?
I met him a couple of times, and I just basically told him about the show and everything, and just the idea behind it. And I just wanted to, like, and he thought it was funny, and we didn't want to like play up the fact that it was like it's Fred Durst. It was just like we wanted it to be like Fred Durst took a job on this show that he hates, kind of. So that's the way we played it, and it's like he used to watch this thing that I did, and so did Eric, called TV Carnage. I used to make this thing like years ago, and that's what this show is too. It's just kind of like all of the wonderful kind of decisions that I watched people make when I was making the TV Carnage compilations is like also just poured into this show.
Yes,
the
TV Carnage pilot, which I saw a while ago, was. Like that? Did that air anywhere? Is that?
No. No.
It was, of course. Yeah, it was. I could have answered that one. It's like, no, that thing didn't air anywhere. That was like a straight up attack on just the idea of watching anything. But then again, it's still just like, no, this is still, it's still funny. I feel like I'm being punched by somebody who's kind of like making me laugh while I get hit.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, well, it's still funny, and I'm. But this is like this. Yeah, that was insane, and I. Oh, but this is the new thing, and it is really. There's nothing like this. I mean, it really is. It makes sense that you would do this with Eric Andre, because it is almost as like the high tech next level version of what for, if that was a talk show, if that was doing what you guys do to talk shows, this is doing what it would be to like youth culture and like the bridging of the gap.
Yeah, it's like if thank you. It's like if TRL is just like let's make ourselves relevant again. This nightmare of a fever, like this desperate fever dream. Yeah,
it's yes. And
thank you.
What was the reaction you got from some of the because you have guests on who are kind of like internet stars and kind of kids like that, and the one where you put your feet into lasagna.
Into lasagna, yeah.
Who was that? Was Joey Badass?
Yeah, it's Joey Badass. And I asked him about gentrification, and then I take my shoes off, and I've got these disgusting long kind of like Howard Hughes toenails, and Joey Badass is just, he's terrified, or he's just at least disgusted. And I started talking to him about gentrification, and then I call my assistant Robert out, who's just this like very meek looking buttoned up guy with glasses, and then it looks like he's going to take the lasagna away, because I claim that I'm soaking my feet in lasagna as like a treatment for my toenails. And then instead of taking lasagna away, he just gets on his hands and knees and he just eats and sucks the lasagna off my feet.
Yes.
And then I tell Julie Badass that this is one of the perks of gentrification.
Now this you really have. I think this could very well be, if it was announced that this was like the final television show. I think everybody would have to be like, no, okay, I guess this is it. I guess this is the end of the line for television. This is where it ends.
Yeah, that's like whenever we're writing these shows, it's like we always joke about that. It's just like the Hollywood sign is just like hung itself. Packed its suitcase.
And so what do you have, like five more to go to air?
They've been airing them in like back to back two episodes.
Oh, wow, okay. So
there's two more episodes to go. Yeah. Next weekend's the last of the premieres, and then it goes into like reruns.
But just watch the thing. That's all you got to do. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Nobody's sitting there at midnight watching waiting for Robot Chicken to end and for the thing to begin.
Yeah, you can watch it online too. You can watch it on Adult Swim online.
Yeah, no, it is amazing, and it's a real accomplishment.
Thank you.
And I was stunned by. I thought I was unshakable, but I was shook. And it's really funny, Derek. And I hope everybody checks it out. And it's
thank you so much.
Man. What are you doing the rest of the year? What's this year like for you, Derek Beckles?
Golly, I'm currently in Hollyweird, California, and I'm gonna go to. I'll be back in New York. I have like a new thing I'm gonna be working on there, and then hopefully making more of these soon too.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
and. And now just say one final thing. You know the idea of you grew up where? And did you grow up in Canada?
I grew up in Canada, yeah.
What part of Canada?
I grew up outside of Toronto in this devastating suburb called Scarborough, and people called it Scarberia, which is like a really apt nickname for it. And I also lived in Montreal for a long time. But
so the idea of a Canadian, because... I think the first time I met you was when our mutual friend Nick Thorburn was playing his movie in Toronto. I was up there.
Yeah.
And we saw a screening of his movie. The idea of a Canadian people compared to American people, it's just like, this is the thing I was thinking. The idea, if you're a bad person from Canada, like you're like the worst person because you've had every opportunity to just not be a bad person. Like, you're choosing to be a bad person.
I know. I guess so.
And that's not you. I'm just saying, like, somebody who would just be like, I'm still going to be an awful person. Like, being in Canada, it's kind of like, no, we can at least help you find a middle ground where maybe you're not the worst. You'll just kind of hover in the middle of the pack. Because that is Canada. Look, I love Toronto's one of my favorite cities. I would pick Toronto over almost any city. Because it's kind of like New York if you took off, like, the top 10% and the bottom 20%.
Right.
It's just like that. It's like, okay, look, maybe you don't get the absolute peak of the mountain that you could potentially get. But where am I getting that anyway in New York? What am I doing to get me that?
That's the funny thing about, like, New York's, like, it's a serial killer with other cities. Like, it just kind of lays most cities to waste. So when I grew up in Toronto, people were like, oh, we're like the New York of Canada. And I was like, well. And then they were kind of like, well, we're kind of like the Chicago. kind of like downgraded themselves.
I guess, but it is like Chicago. It is like New York in the way that everybody else in the country hates it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like people on the West Coast are like, I hate Toronto. And you're like, oh, my God, really? What happened to you? It's like, well, never been there, but I hate it.
Oh, I don't know why. I love it. Well, look, you know what else I love? Mostly for millennials, Derek Bell.
Thank you.
And look, I hope
thank
I
you
see,
so much.
I hope I see you soon in this show.
Yeah,
I hope everybody
likewise.
Watches it. And I thank you for calling in and telling us all about it.
Oh, my God. Thank you for picking up the phone.
All right, buddy. We will talk soon. You have a
yes, sir.
Have a grand evening.
Support the poops.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That show's nuts, man. Mostly for millennials. You got to check that out, Mike. He's going to. Good. You should. And recommend it for no reason. So, yeah, The Best Show Patreon. It's patreon.com/thebestshow. And we're making new content that you can get only on the Patreon, and it's great. And we did a best show last weekend that's only up on Patreon. And yeah, go check it out. Give whatever you can do to support the show. We appreciate everything. I thank you for that. Yeah. Back to the phones. Who's good here, Mike? Three? Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
This is Geneva.
Oh, my goodness. It's Geneva. Geneva from right? Where?
Yeah, the D.C. metro area.
The D.C., that's a fair way to say it. The D.C. metro area.
Yes. People tried calling it the DMV. I mean, they do call it the DMV, but everybody here hates that, so okay. I try not to tell people that.
Now, when you root for a baseball team, who do you root for?
I guess the Nationals, but I'm from Philly originally, so I kind of have to vote. I kind of have to root for Philly.
Sure. Okay. So your Philly roots show through when it's all said and done.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. You know what, Geneva? You're the only one that asked. And I'll tell you right now, if I had a chocolate factory to give out,
Aww.
You would have just got the keys to the chocolate factory. No one asks. No one says, how are you, Tom?
I know you had some health things happening.
Oh, see, look. She's paying attention. I'd give you, if I had two chocolate factories, you get both of them now. You get the second one.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you about something I've seen that is kind of something you've talked about. I have something for the topic, but I just need to tell you this. It made me very upset when I saw it because I feel like there's a long history of people stealing your ideas. Right? There's this kind of, people are always kind of like, you know, doing things that are very similar to what you've said on the show. For years, you have said you wished that there was a place where you could take a nap during the day when you were in New York.
Yeah.
And did you see that they're opening a place, $25 an hour, called Nap York?
Well, look, that I'm going to say that's a case of parallel thinking. I'm hardly the only person to walk around New York City saying, boy, I wish I could be asleep right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, hey, you guys stole my idea for wanting to take a nap.
I just saw that. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's definitely something I've heard Tom say often.
Well, you know what I will say, though? How much is it, $25 an hour?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I know the loophole. I know the loophole. I know where to take a nap in New York.
Yeah, the movie theater.
No. That's the old, that doesn't work. I'm going to say movie theater doesn't work. I know the place to take a nap.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if I should even say it, because Nap York will jump all over it.
Yeah, probably.
I'll start stealing my thing. But you know what, Geneva? Between me and you, I'm going to tell you where you take a nap. Take a guess. Where do you think? Where would I recommend you? Can you even guess?
I don't know. I don't know where it would be like a safe place to take a nap in New York.
Here's what you do. Get ready for this.
Okay.
This is where you take a nap. I'm serious.
I'm listening.
You go to a karaoke bar. Not a karaoke bar. You go to a place with karaoke rooms. You get a room. Solo room. You go in. It's $7 an hour.
Yeah.
You go in. They give you a microphone. You program in a bunch of songs. And you maybe you sing a nice song to yourself, right? Then you kind of slump back in the room. You program in a bunch, though. But then you just slump back and you zonk out. You can catch a half hour asleep.
Yep.
And then, what are they going to do? Come and yell at you? You just go, sorry. I got a little sleepy. I'll wake up. But they're not. They don't care.
Nope.
As long as you're not slicing the couches open or smashing the room up, they don't care.
I didn't realize people that did that in America. If I lived in Japan for a while, and that was this thing that if you missed the train at night, you would just go get a karaoke room and sleep in there till 5 a.m. when the train started running again.
So people would do that over in Japan? They would sleep in a karaoke room?
Yeah. People do that all the time.
Just
because they can, I guess. It's more acceptable. But sometimes people just go in there and sing also by themselves, and then they'll take a nap. But, yeah, I didn't even think about that here. But culturally, like, that is an okay thing to do.
Yeah. Just go in the karaoke room by yourself. $7. That's 3.5 hours at Nap York.
Yep. Yeah, it's a deal.
Don't I know it. Don't I know it, Geneva. So what else is going on? What are you doing for the summer?
Oh, just working, and I'm going to go see Beyonce. I'm pretty excited about that.
Where's that going to be now?
It's at the football stadium here. I won't say their names, but because it's not a nice term.
But you'll wear their jerseys.
No, I will not.
I see pictures of you on Instagram.
No, I have never worn one of their jerseys.
All you wear are the... I don't even know if you have any clothes that aren't the Washington football team at this point. Every jersey, every picture is you buying jerseys, buying
headbands. You're saying I only wear jerseys.
You only wear NFL jerseys for the Washington, D.C. football team.
Wow.
Look, hey, it's your Instagram.
I am seeing that hurt, but I also wanted to tell you, I was trying to call on Sunday, and I didn't make it through, but I did have something for the topic, the ongoing topic.
Yes.
Rated R movie and first concert. First concert, I want you to make the call on this.
Okay.
Because I had spent all of high school, because I lived in a small town when I was in high school, and I didn't have a car and I couldn't drive for a long time. So I was trying to convince people constantly to take me to see concerts, and it didn't really ever happen when I was in high school. So when I think what had happened, the summer after I graduated high school, I was just walking in a park in Kansas City, and there was a band playing, and I was like, well, I guess this is my first concert, but it was like a terrible band. It was Sister Hazel, who had the one hit, All For You. Guess what it is?
How'd that song go again?
Hard to say what it is I see in you.
That one, right?
Yes. So them, and then, but that summer I also, or the next summer is like when I bought my first like real tickets to a show.
Uh-huh.
And that was the Beastie Boys, which is a lot cooler to say. So what do you think I can say? Can I say
it's
that
a
the
Beastie Boys?
Boys?
No, you didn't choose. You didn't choose to go see Sister Hazel. It would be just like if you walk past something, it didn't mean that was your first concert. No.
I know, but at the time I was just like, is this my first
show?
It's
not. No, no. You have to choose. You choose your first show or somebody takes you to the thing. It's not just that it happened to be taking place where you were walking
right
through.
But that is something that has worn on me for a long time.
Well,
like,
let it go. Now you can let this go, Geneva.
Yes. Yeah.
The Beastie Boys was your first show.
Yes. On the Hello Nasty tour. Which I can't believe was also 20 years ago.
That's right.
I thought about that today.
Didn't that just turn 20 years old?
I think so.
Like in the last week or so? I think that might have... Yeah, how about that? They only made a few. Isn't it amazing how few records the Beastie Boys made, considering their legacy? What, did they make 7 albums?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's really crazy. I'm so happy I got to see them.
some bands only do 7 records over 25 years. Other people show up and knock out 3 hours a week and do it, and they just provide and provide and provide, and they don't look back. They're not precious about it. That's where the best show is, baby. That's how we do it here. And we don't have that. We don't know turkeys the way the Beastie Boys. They got 2 of their albums stink.
Yeah.
That Burroughs album, that one's not good. And then that instrumental album's a turkey. And,
that's true.
So they have 5 albums? 5. What?
Yeah.
5 albums.
They're good. They're great.
Yeah. 5 great albums. Yeah. So they provided 5 hours of entertainment for everybody. Yeah. You know when I did that? This week.
Yes.
I did three today and 2 on Sunday.
It's true.
Yeah. In less 3 days, I did 5 hours.
That was so great. I was just like hanging out, cleaning, doing chores, and I was like, there's a best show on. This is like the greatest thing on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for that.
I appreciate you saying that. That's nice.
And the very last thing, the rated R movie, which I was one of those kids who could watch whatever I wanted. Probably not surprising to you, knowing me now, that I was basically raised by the television. But I have a very strong memory of, like, my first real rated R experience. And this is very on brand for my mom, for people who listening who know my mom, who's kind of like this very interesting person herself, who bought me, I was 8 years old, and my two younger siblings to see RoboCop in the theater.
You're not the first person to say RoboCop was their first R-rated movie. Somebody yeah. else said that. Maybe on Sunday, somebody said RoboCop.
Yep.
That's a pretty, look, it's a good movie. Pretty violent movie.
Yeah, I definitely remember hiding behind someone who was taller than me, or like, you know, an adult who was seated in front of me, and I just kept ducking during all the, like, bloody scenes. But my brothers were even smaller than I was, but I'm sure my mom was like, I want to see that movie, so I'm just going to take these kids with me.
You know they're remaking RoboCop now?
Oh, really?
And do you know who's going to play RoboCop in the remake? It's very, very controversial. A lot of people are not into it. It's,
who is it?
Logan Paul from,
Yes.
He's going to play RoboCop. I think.
Does he have, like, a catchphrase?
I think the kid deserves a chance. I say give him a chance. Let Logan Paul play RoboCop. I think he'll be a great RoboCop. Let the Paul family handle the RoboCop franchise.
I'm glad he was cast in that.
It's very smart casting. It's very, very smart. That's the first thing I thought when I heard that Logan Paul was going to play RoboCop. It's very smart. Might be a little too smart for the room, but sometimes you can't play down. So that's one thing you start to learn is you can't play down to the audience, to the lowest common denominator. Sometimes you have to elevate yourself. And if it means putting a Logan Paul as the lead of that movie, then you just have to do it. You have no say in the matter.
All right. What is his, like, catchphrase?
What is his catchphrase?
Doesn't he have a thing he
Duh.
Says all the time?
Yeah, duh. I think that's Logan Paul's catchphrase. Duh. A friend of mine sent me a Logan Paul shirt. I got it in the mail. I didn't know who it was from. Just shows up at my home, and I'm just like, there we go. Logan Paul. How about that? I guess somebody's sending Logan Paul merchandise. And then finally, I was like, hey, did you send me a Logan Paul shirt? He's like, yeah. So.
Oh, my gosh. I'll have to tell you the story some other time because I don't have the exact wording here. But one of the listeners to the show, who I am friends with, everyone was very obsessed with this message I got on an online dating site that this guy sent to me about wanting to share a bowl of oatmeal with me. And everyone was obsessed with this for a little while, and this guy made me a T-shirt with that message on it. Like a giant T-shirt he sent to me in the mail.
That's worse. That's worse than the message.
I know. So I have it now.
Some things are meant to gently fade away. And now you have a shirt with it on.
Yeah. I'll have to post it on Instagram.
Don't. In between. So you have one item of clothing that is not NFL related. That's nice. At least you have one thing you can wear for, like, formal occasions.
I also have to ask you about, I know you may not want to talk about this, but you said you loved the finale of Jesus and Mero with Mike Francesa.
Yes, I thought it was great. I loved it.
I loved it too. Yeah. I almost cried, actually.
Yes.
I don't know why.
That was a great show, and those guys got, they gave it all.
Yes.
And then now they're going to move on to, I guess, greener pastures, at least greener in terms of their bank accounts. It'll be greener pastures.
Yes.
So good for them. Yeah.
But anyway, that made me really happy.
No, it was great.
You liked it too.
It was the perfect way for them to end their run with Mike Francesa was nuts.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Did you see that, Mike? You should. Well, I'll send you. It's a show that was on Viceland. These two guys had like a talk show that was real funny and kind of. I think you'd like it. And their final guest was Mike Francesa, who was on. Well, you know, Bill Simmons said that I should come on this. He's always hyping you guys to me and stuff. And it's just like, and these guys are so into it, but they clearly also, and this guy's a buffoon.
Yes.
Like, but they're not, they're like, they love the idea that this guy exists, Mike Francesa, yeah. But they also know he sucks, but they're not saying yeah. that to his face because he's in front of them now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just reveling in the Mike Francesa-ness of it all. They're forgetting that he sucks for one day.
Yeah.
And just acting as if, like, what if Mike Francesa, cause they're not going to be like, hey, Mike, you suck. So you just got to see it. All right, Geneva.
Have a good night.
You have a great night.
Thanks.
And remember, I'll say it. Go Redskins!
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Can you imagine rooting for that team? Can you imagine having to put on a Redskins jersey, show up? It's a shame. National shame. Somebody sent through an AP Mike headshot. My internet's so glitchy tonight. AP Mike headshot challenge. Took Mike on a trip to Zaxby's today. So I guess they have an AP Mike headshot. Because there's a thing, the AP Mike headshot challenge, which you go to apmike.bandcamp.com, you order a headshot there, and then you take a picture of it in a weird place, and then we'll start giving prizes that for people who take AP Mike headshots to the best places. Tell you, internet's slow, baby. Don't know what to do with that. Let's take some calls, burn through these calls. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Lori.
Oh, my goodness, it's Lori. Lori from Miami.
That's great.
What's up, Lori? What's going on tonight in Miami?
I don't live in Miami anymore, right?
We're playing along. Just play along.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's
how hot
Miami,
was it today?
Yeah, it's,
did you see Pitbull? Did you see Pitbull today, Mr. 503?
yeah, I said, hey, what's up, and then he said Dale to me, so.
He said what?
I don't know. Dale, it means, like, give it, or something in Spanish.
I thought you said he said Dalek. I was like, what is he, a Doctor Who fan?
No, I just didn't use my Spanglish accent very well.
So what's going on tonight, Lori?
Well, I do have a contribution for the topic, but I did want to check in on the current status of Vanderpump Rules. I did watch the Joe Parra show, which I would describe as like Prairie Home Companion if it didn't suck. It's just very wholesome, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's a great show.
Yeah, good
and
show. So,
I watched all the episodes of Vanderpump Rules.
It's your favorite.
And then, unfortunately, someone dropped a brick on my head. And I've forgotten everything I saw.
Did you know that Gotti was executive produced by Lala's man?
Who, Carmelo Anthony?
No, there was like more than one producer on the movie.
Wait, did I know what the what now? Say this again.
The movie Gotti that you paid for
AP Mike.
Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to see with Dudio. It was with Pat. With Pat, my bad.
Dudio.
In a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so.
Since I saw the Instagram story. So, He's dating one of the stars of Vanderpump Rules, this old dude dating this youngish woman.
So wait a minute.
She's not like, I mean, everyone on the show is in their 30s pretty much, mm-hmm. so they're adults, but they don't act like it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know.
Yeah. No, they're all cool on the show. That's my favorite thing about it. It's very aspirational. I watch that show and I'm just like, oh, if life was fair, this would be me. Why is life so unfair? Why can't I be like my heroes on Vanderpump Rules?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I don't think anyone actually wants to be like them. We watch these shows to feel better about ourselves.
I watch it because I have something to model myself on in terms of just like my dreams and goals and just the general, the way I conduct myself with others. Just everything.
I mean, I got to say, sometimes I do feel like a bit like a Kristen. She's just about the same age.
You said it. You could, you know, you said it. There's not a day I go by where I'm just like, Tom, you're such a Crispin.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page about
that.
Oh,
we are on the same page. Don't worry. I am the Crispin. You might as well just call me Crispin now.
Okay, Crispin.
What's that now? See, I even answer to it. Yes.
Okay.
So what else is going? What are you doing? What do you have for the thing now with the R-rated movie or the concert?
Well, I mean, I can do both.
Let's hear both then.
Okay. So, in junior high, my best friend Andrea, she didn't have the most conventional crushes on boys. So we went to see Natural Born Killers because she had a crush on Woody Harrelson. Mm-hmm.
But sure, why not? How old was she at that point?
I think we were in the seventh grade. So
oh,
like,
that's fantastic. So she had a crush on the movie where Woody Harrelson played a serial killer.
Yeah, that probably wasn't the most.
Well, that's just so heartening. I tell you, these dudes get a pass on all that stuff. They were just like, I think Woody Harrelson's sexy and Natural Born Killers. What?
You want to know who else? We both had a crush on him. You want to know what other movie we saw? We saw Cabin Boy.
Okay. And you had a crush on Chris Elliott?
No, David Letterman.
You had a crush on David Letterman as the sailor dude who's in one scene.
Yeah, so we saw it together.
Oh, Lori.
I don't know. I can't explain it.
So you're watching Cabin Boy, you and your friend, your seventh grade friend, and you're just like,
yeah.
Like, am I crazy? Or is David Letterman as an old salt kind of sailor in this thing, in his one scene going, do you want to buy a monkey? You're like, am I crazy? Or is
we thought because we knew he was going to be in a,
is
we had
heart
a crush on him prior to the release of the movie.
Sure. But you finally had a chance to see him in a movie.
You know, I'll be honest, I didn't really get Cabin Boy when I was a tween and it came out, but I get it now.
Sure. No, I understand that. That makes sense. It's a great movie. But it might have been something that wasn't necessarily for kids to just go, oh yeah, it's great. It seems kind of, it's like odd in a way that kids would be just like, I don't know if I like that. But you like it. Now you get it.
Yeah.
Now you get it.
You learn, you grow.
Exactly. That's my favorite song by Alanis Morissette. What's that song? How's that go again?
You're lying. Well, are you just singing You Oughta Know lyrics to the tune
no,
of You Oughta Know?
No, it's a song you learn, you grow. People
know. Oh, okay. I mean, I guess I don't know her deep cut.
Now, that's the whole thing. I guess you're not a super fan like I am.
I guess I'm not.
It doesn't run. I listened to all the songs on that album that sold 75 million times.
Yeah,
well,
I was going through a Riot Girl phase at the time, so.
So what was the first concert you saw?
Well, my mom took my brother and I to Lollapalooza 94.
So you went to Lollapalooza 94 and you saw who with that now? Who was it that
one? You know what? We actually did not get to see a whole lot because my brother went primarily to see Green Day. Uh-huh. And this was right after Woodstock 94. And I believe it was Trey Cool or the other one who isn't Billy Joe Armstrong who got injured.
Mike Dirnt.
On stage.
Yeah. So it was either Trey Cool or Mike Dirnt.
It was one or the other. And Billy Joe came out on stage. He was really disappointed. So my brother didn't want to stay. I wanted to stay to watch Smashing Pumpkins because I was really into them.
Sure.
But you know what? There were a lot of people smoking weed.
Yeah, reefer.
And I don't think my mom was particularly comfortable with that. I was, I think I was 11.
Uh-huh.
10 or 11. And my brother was 12 or 13. So... Yeah. Yeah.
So your mom didn't like the fact they were smoking reefer right near her kids.
Yeah, she wasn't a big fan of that.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember if we saw anyone perform, as a matter of fact. I just don't recall.
Yeah. Do you have Zaxby's where you are?
Yes. There's not one, like, super close.
Hey, Mike?
Where...
Can you come in here, Mike?
Okay.
I wanted to show Mike. Somebody took a picture. They brought his headshot to his Zaxby's.
Oh, okay.
They put your picture near the please put your salad bowl here. Okay. And they put your your framed picture in like one of like the busboy trays.
And I'm sure it got carried away too, right?
I'm sure this guy took it back, of course.
I did order Zaxby's via Postmates, and it wasn't great.
Okay, that's fine.
You ordered what now, Lori?
I ordered Zaxby's a few weeks ago via Postmates, and, you know, it's not the best thing I've ever ordered via that service.
All right, look. You take that up with them. What are you bringing that to me? What do you want me to
get your
money back?
I don't know. I don't eat Bojangles. You know, it's bow time. As they say.
Is that guy Les from Hardcore Pawn still alive, Mike? From Hardcore Pawn, not the old guy from... the other guy died from Pawn Stars, the old man. It was, you know, sad. But this guy from... this guy's selling his headshots. Mike, this guy is selling his for $12.95. His are $2.95 more than yours. The guy Les from Hardcore Pawn.
I think you can also buy cameo videos from him and the other one.
What, him and the guy from Cameo?
No, him and the... You know what Cameo is, right?
What's that now?
It's like a thing where you can buy videos from, like, reality television stars and people like Lance Bass.
Sure, and they'll just go like, hey Mary, I just want to tell you, congratulations on graduating from college.
Yeah, and like one of them is selling like 30-second videos for like $50 or something.
I gotta start doing
it. It was like an obscenely high amount. Like, I can't imagine many people. I can't remember which one it was.
I might start doing that. I might start charging for videos. I'll just be like, do like $30. I'll just knock them out on an iPhone, right?
I mean, yeah. People would buy it, probably.
Yeah, right? Why not? Get a video or...
Oh, it's Chumley. Chumley, who, let me tell you how much it costs to get a short video from him. Let me see. What's his rate?
Chumley.
Gosh. I don't know if I see the amount right now.
Look, okay, all right.
But he's on there.
I got to move on. Mike's giving me the signal.
Okay.
He's saying
we can't look, okay, bye.
He's saying we can't look for prices on the air. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Oh, it's going.
Thank you for providing. I wanted to say that up front.
Oh, for what?
For providing.
Providing?
Yeah, you said I'm a provider. I provide. Thank you, Tom.
Oh, well, you're quite welcome. I'm not sure. Did I say that?
Yeah.
All right.
So I've got two things for the topic and a question.
Well, okay. What do you got?
Okay. Do you want the question first or?
Yeah, let's hear the question first.
All right. So I feel very conflicted because I am a lifelong Queen fan since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And obviously, I missed seeing them live.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a residency in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I jumped right online, and I got a couple of tickets. And the show's in October, and I don't know how to feel about it, because on one hand, I'm excited to hear Brian May and Roger Taylor. But on the other hand, do you know what the lead singer is?
Lead singer is what's-his-face from American Idol?
That guy. It's Adam Lambert.
Yeah, he's got it. Look, I got it. Look, you knew what you were buying a ticket for. I got no problem with that. Look, it's not Freddie Mercury. That guy's got a good voice, though, and he's been there for years. He's doing it with love and just trying to keep that music going. I don't think you can you can't sweat that.
So I shouldn't feel like I was swindled in any way.
No. Look. If Freddie Mercury was alive and you bought a ticket and he was in Queen and you showed up and Adam Lambert was there, then you'd feel swindled. Then you'd have a right to feel swindled. But he's not.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right, Tom. Thank you for helping me through that.
Just enjoy it. You get to see Brian May, who made those records, and Roger Taylor, who made those records. You get to see them. And this guy's talented. He'll do the songs justice.
Right.
It's better than when they had Paul Rogers. That's weird. The guy from Bad Company, whose voice is so different from Freddie Mercury. That seemed weird. So
right.
You should go see a guy who's got a big, booming voice, and he's got the theatricality in that way that Freddie Mercury would sell the songs. What's his face from Bad Company singing into his shirt? He's like looking down. It's like he's doing a book report in front of the class. He's supposed to sing Queen songs, staring at his shoes.
Right. Yeah, everything sounds like a macho anthem when Paul Rogers sings it. Right. Everything sounds like completely the opposite of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Feel like making. Right. Everything's about love with those guys. Ready for love? Oh baby, I'm ready. Can't get enough of your love. Feel like making.
Yeah,
sure.
Like every fourth song is a beer song. You're like, I'm going to go get a beer.
Well, look, you did all right. You go see the thing, enjoy it.
Thank you, Tom. So my first concert, and this is the one that I use for icebreakers whenever you're like in a work meeting and they ask you the question. My first concert was when I was 9 years old, and it was Menudo.
Menudo.
Yeah.
Yes, and who was in Menudo? Was Ricky Martin? Was there a young Ricky Martin in Menudo at that point?
This was actually a year right before, right? Okay. So it's like when the guys were, like, I think one guy was turning like 17.
Yeah.
Right?
I was. Let me just say. You tell your thing, then I'll tell my thing.
No. Go ahead.
I have a Menudo thing. I want to hear yours first, though.
No. I mean.
Please.
Oh,
friend.
Okay. Sorry, Tom.
No, don't apologize.
No, and you know what? I don't remember any of the guys' names. I just remember the outfits, and it was a little bit day glow, and I had a good time, but I was 9.
Because I saw Menudo, and the thing with Menudo is it was a boy band where the kids got, they were not allowed to be in the group when they got to a certain age. It was 17, right?
Yeah, I think 17 or 18.
I was at a show, and it was the final show for one of the guys.
Right.
And they said, this is his final show with Menudo. And we need to, basically, the manager of Menudo instructed the audience to throw garbage at this guy. He had the manager stripped him of his stage outfit.
Right.
Made him wear a potato sack.
Right.
We all threw stuff at him. That's how you exit Menudo. It was very rough. And then they brought the new guy out.
Right.
Wearing the previous guy's stage clothes. He was swimming in them because he was still a little kid.
Right.
His clothes were huge on him. And then the manager told us to cheer the new guy on. And
right. They put the bracelet on him.
Yes. Exactly.
And then they're like, Miguel.
And we ran the other guy out of the building. We chased him down the street. And I don't think he made it. I think the mob got him.
You don't hear about him.
No, you don't. They were chasing. I don't even know his name. But they were chasing him down. It was, that's how people got, that's how you left Menudo.
Right. Well, I do remember them giving, getting rid of one guy, and he had like a TV special, and they gave him a motorcycle, and at the end, like the worst part is they would make him sing his goodbye song.
And they took that motorcycle away. That was just for show. That was just, that was a television thing.
Right. It had temp tags on it.
They made him buy the motorcycle from Menudo at, like, manufacturer's list, which, like, if you went to any motorcycle dealer, you could get them down from that price.
Right.
They made him pay full MSRP on it with, like, features that he didn't even want on it.
Right. It's a weird color.
It was a weird color motorcycle. It had features that I don't even know if were even on it at that point.
Right.
Yes. And then the next day he went out and his motorcycle was missing. They just would. That's the other thing I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not rooting for this. But the whole idea of a motorcycle. How is every motorcycle not getting stolen every day? Right? How does somebody not pull up with a pickup truck and grab every motorcycle ever? Right? How is that just not happening all day long?
Yeah, it fits like in a Prius.
Yeah, like they stick a, you get a motorcycle, they stick it on the street. Like, yeah, it's my motorcycle. It's out on the street. How do you not come out every day? You should be stunned that it's still there. Right?
Yeah.
How is it just like, if you're a crook, why aren't you just stealing motorcycles?
Right.
Just rolling them up onto the ramp, onto the back of a truck, and you drive off. And then you figure out the key situation later. I'm sure there's got to be somebody at a motorcycle dealership on the inside who can get you a key for it.
Right. There's even a helmet under the seat, probably, you know?
Yeah, you get a free helmet. You throw the helmet in when they're selling it to whatever hoodlum is buying a stolen motorcycle, you throw in a helmet.
That's like the closer. And they're like, look, I can get you the helmet.
Yeah, fine. Look, I know it's maybe a little gray market here on this motorcycle. So maybe we don't have the paperwork, for it, but we'll throw the helmet in.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm working on a show, actually, where it's comedians in cars. You know that show?
Yeah, I've seen it.
And it's going to be comedians inside cars.
Right.
Where it'll be Jerry Seinfeld driving a riding a motorcycle.
Right.
You put the comedian into the sidecar.
Mm-hmm.
And the sidecar is filled with coffee. Hot coffee.
Comedians in sidecars with coffee.
In coffee.
Right.
Comedians in sidecars in coffee.
Right. Right.
And the coffee is so hot.
Do you want to hear about the first R-rated movie I saw?
You know what? At this point, sure. Let's hear about it.
I'm going to tell you, because this is the one where... You know, I'm weary going into things because the kid who told me about it, I was about 7 years old, and this kid talked up this story. You know, when you're a kid and you don't get to see R-rated movies, but some kid sneaks through and they tell you all about it, and when they talk you through it, in your head it sounds like the most amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was telling me about Blue Thunder, right?
Wait, the Roy Scheider helicopter movie?
Yep.
Hold on. Wait, that was rated R?
Yeah, that was rated R.
No.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. The Roy Scheider helicopter movie.
Right.
Hold on.
And it sounds like when they tell you about it, like this is everything that a 7-year-old wants to watch, right?
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the dumb Clint Eastwood...
Firefox
is what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's also rated R.
No. Hold on.
Yeah, I promise you.
Firefox movie. Hold on. Now, Firefox is PG, my friend. Blue Thunder was rated R. Trust me. Firefox was a movie. It was Clint Eastwood had to steal a high-tech plane from the Russians.
Right.
Right?
Right. And it's like 3 hours long.
And it was the most boring movie ever. And for some reason, I think I saw it more than once in the theater.
Yep.
I think I saw Firefox over and over. And I would leave and just go like... And at that point, I was happy to see anything. I was a little boy at that point. What are you going to do?
Right. You don't know.
So go ahead. So this kid comes in. He starts talking about Blue Thunder. I saw the greatest movie, Blue Thunder. It's a guy from Jaws, but he's got a helicopter now.
You know, and he says, the helicopter doesn't make any noise. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he says, nope. And it's a super secret helicopter, and it goes all around the city, and it catches bad guys with these cameras that can see everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everything, what does that mean? He goes, it's everything. It's rated R. And I was like, okay, I get the picture. I got to see this movie.
So he's got the helicopter outside of a window where a lady's taking a shower? What is he doing?
There's something like that. Or someone's doing exercises.
It's great. Right? It's great that you get this high-tech piece of equipment and still somebody finds a way to be a prevert with it.
Right.
This chopper is quiet. You can't hear anything. Let's go stare in that lady's apartment with it. Wait, you sure? Sure that's really what we're going to use? You know, this thing burns about $30,000 worth of fuel every time we take it up. You sure you really want to stare in this lady's window with it? It's also a risk. Doesn't matter what kind of chopper we got here. Still a chance we'll clip a tree.
Right.
So.
Well, it sounds like what people do with drones now. I bet you there's a guy with a drone. And he's just like, I'm going to name it.
You think there's some creep staring in windows with drones? If anything,
I'm gonna guess.
If we should start a business, you and me, what's your name again?
Mm-hmm. Ivan.
Ivan. Where are you calling from again, Ivan?
I'm from El Paso, but I'm in San Diego.
All right. What would you think about this as a business, Ivan?
All right.
Drone busters, right?
Right.
And it's just... we go through neighborhoods with bats and with our own drones, and we blast these pre-vert drones out of the air.
Right. Like good guy drones.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Drone busters. We're the good guy drones. That's what the that's what it would say.
Right.
I love it. Ivan.
I'm in, Tom.
All right, buddy.
You have a good night.
You too. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Paul from Toronto.
Paul,
how are you doing?
From Toronto. What's up, Paul?
Well, how are you doing?
I'm feeling well. I'm okay. Yeah, thanks for asking.
We care about you, Tom. You know that.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it, Paul. I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, like, well, that's nice. It's not, the sun isn't a death can from the sky anymore. Pleasant outside. Well, I can't complain. But either way, I got something for a topic.
What do you got, Paul?
Okay, number one, I got to preface something. Okay, when you say first R-rated movie, does it have to be in the theater or just...
No, not in the theater necessarily.
Okay, the first R-rated movie I saw was Apocalypse Now, and I watched it with my dad.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
Probably 12.
Okay, that's kind of about the right age to take in an R-rated movie that's with your pop.
Well, and they also he came on TV and he was like, "Hey, Palouche,
Slow down. What did he say?
Palouche. That's what he would call me.
Okay.
He's like,
Palouche, okay.
You're interested in the Vietnam War?
Yeah.
Come watch this.
So you watched Apocalypse Now with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Palouche Sr. and Palouche Jr. sitting
there.
Well,
down. Lake Mall.
Yeah.
My dad, my dad was named John. Well, that actually wasn't his real name, but like.
Mm-hmm. So John and Palouche sitting down.
Yeah.
To watch a thing. That's a nice story. I love
it. Well, and the first one that I watched solo was Life of Brian.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure that's R-rated.
Yes, that's R-rated.
Okay.
Did you laugh?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah?
And not only that, it was like basically like they were just launching this channel in Canada called Showcase. Mm-hmm. That's the one that like had Trailer Park Boys like as their like original series like later on, but like when they launched it like about 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it was at midnight, and that's the first thing they showed was The Life of Brian, and that was the first R-rated movie I watched all by myself.
You know what I think we're missing with Trailer Park Boys? More episodes. I wish they would just make more of them. There's not enough of it.
Well, they got like. They got their presence. I mean, they got a podcast
I mean,
and everything.
Look,
and like,
they've only made 19 seasons of this thing. All right, my friend.
They're doing good. Also,
yeah, go ahead.
First concert.
Yeah.
Okay. 2002. I forget exactly what day it was, but it was 2002 at a venue in Toronto that no longer exists. Probably condos by now, or at least like beginning of condos. The Cool House. I saw it. Okay, headliner, Bad Religion, supported by Les and Jake, which by then I was like kind of like already.
Best show, hi.
Hey, it's Colin in Pittsburgh.
Colin in Pittsburgh. What's up, Colin?
I got two for the topic.
What do you got?
Okay, first show
yeah.
that I ever went to was the Ramones' final tour for a friend's bar mitzvah.
Okay.
At the Capitol Theater in Port Chester, New York.
All right.
They, I moshed for the first ever time.
You what? You moshed.
I moshed.
How is that moshing in a theater with seats?
There's no seats. They pulled the seats out on the bottom. There was like
There
was like a, what is it called? Like a balcony up top that had some seats, and on the bottom as well, the rowdy young people went. And then someone started smoking a little weed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And my friend whose bar mitzvah it was said, "It smells like my dad's office in here."
Yeah. Somebody's dad's sparking it, huh? Right?
Yeah, sparking it up.
Yeah. That Capitol Theater in Port Chester, you knew who played there a whole lot?
Not who?
My boys. The Grateful Dead. Yeah, man. Best show.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome. Who's this?
My name is Johnny. I'm in Chicago.
What's up, Johnny?
I'm nothing much. I'm working at night here, doing some drawing and listening to the best show. But actually, I was just thinking about the Grateful Dead that you're playing, and that's kind of the best Dead that I've heard ever. So I don't know. You kind of turned me on to the Grateful Dead or something.
Yeah, cool, man. That's what I'm trying to do. Trying to just turn people onto good tunes, man.
Yeah, man.
Just sit back.
But
hold on. Cool out, bro. I'm playing some Dead.
Okay.
Cool out. I'm playing St. Stephen.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah. Check this part out. Stephen prospered in his time. Well, it may anyway decline. It matter, does it now? Stephen would actually if he only knew how.
That sounds like Avalanche Bob.
Yeah, man. You know what the great thing about this one is? After St. Stephen, they go into the 11. Turn on your love light. So what's up? What's your first show?
My first show was The Who.
The Who?
Yeah, Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend, and John Entwistle. I don't know who was playing drums, but I was like 7th grade, and my brother took me with his friend.
Sure. Probably Zach Starkey.
I'm sorry?
Probably Zach Starkey was playing drums. So anyway, you go see them, and how is it? Did you go nuts?
Oh, man, it was fantastic. I mean, we were in the lawn, and we actually brought binoculars. So, you know, I saw them, like, in, you know, they were about a quarter inch big. But it was a great first-timer, for sure.
That's good, right?
Yeah. I can't, yeah, I'm not complaining. No way.
All right.
First rated R movie was Blade Runner at the Outdoor Theater, and I was in 2nd grade. It was a double feature with Tron.
So you saw Blade Runner and Tron together. Which one played first?
Oh, Tron.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't play
Tron. That's like, I think that's rated G.
I don't know. It should be rated S. It sucks. I saw it so many times. Not a good movie, bro.
No, it's not. It's visually, it's pretty cool, but
yes,
it's a snooze.
It's a snooze. Yeah, it's a snooze, and it's a Star Wars ripoff. And I used to go to the theater every night and see it. I would literally go to the theater near my house. I'd ride my bike over and see it every night. The theater was such a dump of a theater, I would actually bring my own a pillow to sit on because the theater was so terrible. Yeah. Look, was I weird as a kid? Yeah, I was.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I wasn't.
You were comfortable.
I wanted to be comfortable when I watched Tron 4 nights in a row.
Speaking of kids, I have a son, and when he was 6, I gave him this commando toy that we had from when I was a kid, and he loved it so much that he like all he wanted to do was see Commando.
Mm-hmm.
So like one day last summer, we put on Commando for him, and he loved it. It was actually really entertaining. It's a pretty good movie still.
Good. Good. You showed your son Commando.
Yes.
I love it.
Because I was also thinking of Wally Wackerman last week where, you know, he had to.
Hey, he did not show, Z-Man did not show Warriors to his six-month-old child. You take that back. You don't accuse him of that. Get off my phone. You know what? Sometimes when life gets a little tough, Mike, you know what I like to do? Sit back, crack open a cold Kirkland Light.
Lady Finger,
listen to my boys.
Riding sunshine, across the morning sun. Sunlight's shining, done with Vaseline. Darkness turns and bids the day goodbye. Speeding after sharp and narrow,
but
what a lot of fleeting matters you have
spurged.
Several seasons with their reasons. Wrap the baby in scarlet covers.
Here we go. Here we go, baby. Yeah. Hey, it's time. Mike, can you call Greg? Here, let me write the number down. Hold on. He said he was supposed to pick me up. He should have been here by now. It's not here. What else is new? Here, come get this number. Okay, thanks. Yeah, he calls, so he does the same thing. Calls, big plans, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to Montauk. He's talking about eating here and a poker game and party. It's just always big plans. You got the line? Okay. Yeah, I want to see what he says. Greg? Okay. Greg. 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 Wake up. Wake up, Greg. Greg. You there? Greg. It's not. Of course he fell asleep. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Ked does the same thing every time. What should we do after the show, Mike? You want to do a thing? We'll do a thing. What if me and Mike did a thing? Pat, would you set it up for me and Mike to just do a thing? Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, it's John in Lawrenceville. How are you?
John in Lawrenceville. I know who this guy is. What's up, John?
I'm calling so late in the show, they should call me John from Honolulu.
I know, right? I know.
Yeah. But I do have something quick for the topic.
That's a burn.
No, I love Fred.
Yeah, well, we all love him, but it's a burn. I want to say this about this Fred from Honolulu. I love this guy. He spun this tale. I'm not even going to get into specifics with it. He spun this tale, he told me, and then I found out the reality of things, and I'm just like, all right, Fred. He's a fabulist, is what he is. He's a fabulist. So, John, go ahead with your story.
So, my first concert was Men at Work with NXS opening at the Mann Music Center, apparently in August of 1983, with my parents and my sister.
And did NXS opened?
They did.
Did they come out and do It's the One Thing?
You know, I remember almost nothing about the show except the oversized program that I bought and the T-shirt that I got in the parking lot that both turned pink and shrunk after the first wash.
How were Men at Work? How were
they were great. They were everything I wanted them to be in August of 1983.
Was the dude there with his flute?
Is that Greg Hamm?
The late, great Greg Hamm. Was he there?
Of course he was there. They were all there.
I'm glad they were all there. Was that tough guy drummer there? That guy looked like a he'd rough you up if you didn't buy a Men at Work program. He'd be like hanging out by the merch table, be like, "Oi, you ain't gonna buy a Men at Work program?" And you'd be like, "Well, I'm 13. I don't have money." Yeah, let's see how much money you got in your pockets there.
Jerry Spicer, one of the 4 out of 5 members of Men at Work that has a Wikipedia page.
Jerry Spicer.
So 4 of them have Wikipedia pages, but John Reese from Men at Work does not for some reason.
Come on, fans. Can't believe the Men at Work fans would not... Somebody wouldn't just go open a Wikipedia page for John Reese from Men at Work. So that was the first show you saw. How about the first R-rated
movie? Well, I was sort of calling about that, but more importantly, do you know about Clint Connolly of Mission of Burma's first concert?
I don't.
So apparently he was in fifth grade. He was 9 or 10 years old, and his first concert was the first Velvet Underground show at Summit High School in 1965.
That's right. That's where they did it. Summit High. They were the opening act, the Velvet Underground.
Yes.
For a band whose name eludes me at this moment.
But just imagine if you're going to your first concert and that's your first concert.
Is the Velvet Underground terrifying some children? I worked in Summit, New Jersey for a long time, and I would go past that high school every day, and every day I'd say to myself, that's where it all began, right there in that high school. That's where it all began, and I'm right there near it. I could feel the energy coming off that place. And then I would drive past the clothing place in New Providence, New Jersey that sold tickets for the show. I believe it was called Arthur's on Springfield Avenue. They would sell tickets. It was like tickets for the show available. If you look at the ads, it's like at Arthur's. So if you wanted tickets to that show, you went to a clothing shop in a town, one town over, to get tickets. No, that's pretty good.
To see the middle class.
The middle class with opening act, the Velvet Underground.
I thought that was worth sharing.
No, that's a good story, and I think that's included in Ryan Walsh's book, Astral Weeks, I think discusses that first show.
Oh, nice. Huh? I haven't had a chance to read that yet.
It's a good book. It's a good book. You'll like it. First R-rated movie, John?
Trading Places.
That's a biggie for people.
And the main thing I remember about that, it was a second run screening at Princeton University. Used to have a film series, but they didn't have a proper movie theater to show the series in. So I saw Trading Places in one of those chemistry labs with sinks at the front of the room in front of the screen they were projecting the movie on.
Yes. Great way. to see that movie with sinks, laboratory sinks in between you and the screen.
As it was intended to be seen.
The magic of movies.
Indeed.
John, thank you so much. I hope you're well.
I'm doing all right. I hope you're doing well too, Tom, and I hope our paths cross soon.
Thank you, honey. I'll see you soon. Bye. Final calls for tonight. Best show, hi.
How you doing there, strangest?
Oh, look who it is. I can't believe it. It's nice to hear your voice, BB.
Yours too.
How are you doing?
Oh, better?
Better?
Yeah.
Some rough sledding there for a little bit.
Oh, sweet mother of pearl. Yeah, I've been down the rabbitest of holes, my friend.
Yeah, all because you were chasing the rock. Right?
Yeah, that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you chased it. And there's a reason it's called rock.
Yeah, because it's hard.
Yes.
It's hard as hell, man.
So you had a rough trip.
Yeah. So you would have missed me barfing in the whiskey. Like projectile whammo.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Yeah. I actually ran my power chair into the bouncer's stool.
Because you went from Las Vegas, baby from Las Vegas, you went to go see Alphaville.
Yeah, and I never made it.
In Los Angeles, and you had some health concerns.
Oh, yeah. Fast forward 3 days, I had some.
You know what, though?
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it? You don't have to talk. All that matters to me is that today we are talking about, we are talking. That's all that matters.
The only thing I want to impart to our friends out there, if you can avoid going in the hospital right now, please do it.
If you can avoid going in the hospital, try to avoid going in the hospital. That's great advice.
I know that sounds so.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah. If there's any way you can get around it, home infusion, anything.
Well, you're back home now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good. That's all that matters, BB.
Yeah. And I got topic line stuff, too.
All right. What's...
I did not show up empty-handed.
I would never expect anything less. So which one do you want to talk about first?
Probably the one that came first. It's probably the R-rated movie, and that was MASH.
MASH.
Yeah, before they took all of the... They just chopped it up a little bit, and then they reissued a PG version or a PG-13. I'm not really all that sure. And the other one, well, there was might be one that predated it, but it was before Jack Valenti was even working for Richard Nixon. And my mother took us to see The Dirty Dozen.
So, okay, that's a good one.
And I was like 7.
What would you think about a Dirty Dozen remake? Right?
Kind of badass if you do it the right way.
Just picture this. Logan Paul. Paul. Right? Right off the bat, there's two of the Dirty Dozen. Who else do we put in this thing?
I was down with the Logan Paul for RoboCop because there's that part when he gets all shot up.
Yeah. That's true. Who else should be in this thing? AP Mike. Logan Paul, Jake Paul, AP Mike, Joe Mandy, the guy from Alphaville. Which guy? Who should it be from Alphaville, from the band?
Is the bad guy? Well, I was thinking it was the Ronnie Cox role. I think that should go to, Joe Pera.
Okay, so we got Logan Paul, Jake Paul, AP Mike, Joe Pera, Joe Mandy. Who else should be in this thing?
Let's see. There was a chick, the Nancy Allen role. So there was some sort of love interest. Or
that'd be Claire O'Kane.
Claire O'Kane.
Yeah, we'll figure the other six out next time. We filled in six of the Dirty Dozen now. Hey, we're the Dirty Dozen.
Well, you got to get the new Chuck Bronson. You got to get your new Lee Marvin. You got to get your new Jimmy Brown.
Yeah. We'll fill it in. We'll fill it in. So what was the first concert, though, BB?
The Cars with Bram Tchaikovsky opening.
Bram Tchaikovsky, who sang the song.
He's a girl of my dreams.
That's right. And where was that show?
War Memorial Auditorium, or more fondly known as the Odd in Buffalo. That would have been 78.
So that's primo Cars now.
Oh, yeah, that was that was pre-Candy O. It was right about, I think that was that first album.
Yeah, that's a guts.
Just the self-titled eponymous.
Yeah. That's a good album.
Yeah. I should have been more excited about Bram Tchaikovsky because Mike Oldfield had produced that album, but I did not know that. Because I came from... Well, it was also... everything is pre. It was pre-internet. If I wanted to know anything, I had to go to the library and thumb through the NMEs and the Melody Makers and try not to rip stuff out of them.
See, yeah, it's hard. It's hard not to tear those ads out, which are like little posters.
Mm-hmm. Luddites.
Yeah.
Luddite theft.
You're okay, you're okay?
Take a JPEG.
That's all I need to know.
Okay.
Good. That's all I want to know. I can take a couple more calls. I got to wrap this thing up.
But, you know, it's good now, man. So.
Good. A little touch and go, but it doesn't matter. Good. That's all that matters to me, baby.
Catch up with all that. I'll figure out what's going to happen. Still kind of an open issue, but isn't everything?
What is that? Exactly? What isn't an open issue?
Oh no! I still got to get my box set, man. Got to get the box set of the concert I missed.
The Alphaville box set.
Yeah, and I'm apparently due for a few of them.
All right. Get one of these. Somebody from the Alphaville camp should come through. We'll figure this out. I'm going to get involved in this. I'm going to throw my hat in this to get you with your just desserts from this Alphaville show.
I saw them at dinner.
All right.
They're all sitting together in the brew pub in the hotel. That was great. That was worth, and that was free.
Good. Wow, I'm getting you what you need. Alphaville don't know what's coming their way now.
In my case, they wouldn't know what hit them.
Yeah, well, they're going to find out. I'm getting you everything from Alphaville, BB. All right. You have a great night.
I'll catch up with you shortly, man.
Without a doubt. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
Take care.
Bye. Final calls. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom Sharpling. This is Sean from Kansas.
Sean from Kansas. What's up, Sean? Final calls. What do you got for me, my friend?
Well, I feel very special, Tom. You talked about the Ant-Man movie. I just recently saw it, and, being from Kansas, I've actually met Paul Rudd before.
Nice guy.
He is an awesome guy. I ran into a pub that's down the street from my parents' house, and his mother was with him, and I froze up. I didn't know what to say. And so I said, hey, I recognize you. And he said, oh, yeah, from where? And I was like, you're that guy from Clueless. And his mom started laughing pretty hard, and I just kind of just, like, froze up and was like, hey, it's nice to meet you, and then turned around and walked away real quick. But
That's a good thing. You made his mom laugh, and then you split.
Yeah, I just didn't know what to do. I was afraid I embarrassed him in front of his mother. He's an awesome guy.
You did all right.
About the topic, I actually had something to share.
Yes.
My first concert, I saw Casey and the Sunshine Band with the Village People at Kauffman Stadium.
Nice. Who took you to that?
My parents.
Okay. Is that what your parents, is that the music your parents were into?
Yeah, my mom was a big disco fan, so the opportunity to go to Kauffman Stadium to see them perform was a pretty big deal. Early 90s.
And were you dancing around?
I was. I was born 88, so at that time I think I was maybe 6, maybe 7 years old.
Were you dressed as one of the Village People?
No, I couldn't be that lucky. I think we just wore it as a summer concert, so, t-shirt and shorts. But,
You did it. What's the first R-rated movie you saw?
We watched it together as a family, back in the day of, VHS cassettes coming back from the grocery store. My parents brought home Stripes for us to watch, and I think I was probably about 7 years old at that time too, and we all watched it together. We just had to cover our eyes if there was any nudity.
It was a big year for you. Casey and the Sunshine Band, Village People, Stripes. Life changing.
Yeah, I'd say so, but the first movie I snuck into the theater for R-rated was probably The Crow. So I got about 30 minutes away from my parents, and then they caught me, so I got brought back in.
Which movie?
The Crow with Brandon Lee.
The Crow. Okay, gotcha. All right. Look, my friend, I got to wrap it up. Tommy.
I know, Tom. Thanks very much.
Tired. All right, you have a grand evening.
You too, Tom. Bye-bye.
Mike, I don't know if you think about things like this. I do. We should do a show out. You want to do a show after this, Mike? We'll just talk. You and me. What's that? We'll figure a name out while we do it. I don't know if you think about things like this, Mike, but I do. You think about what those first R-rated movies you saw were, and you think about those first concerts, and that's when you're just at the beginning. When everything was just fresh, you're full of hope, and you don't know what it means to be an adult at that point. You don't know what's around the corner. You don't know the ups and the downs and the fallow times. You just don't know. It can be hard. It can be surprising. You see adults doing things and you think life is going to go one way. You're sure you know what life is. Do you? When you're a little kid? No, you don't. You don't know what it's going to be. It can be hard. Curveballs coming from all different directions. Keep you on your toes. You realize these adults in these movies seems like they got it figured out, but they don't have it figured out. But you know who does have it figured out? No one's got it figured out. That's who. Nobody knows what they're doing. And you start to realize that as you get a little older and you realize nobody knows what they're doing. So the only thing you can do is to do what you can. You take care of what you can control and you ask yourself, what is it that I can control? Maybe I can control more than I thought I could. Maybe I can have more of an impact on people than I ever thought I could. And you look and suddenly you realize if you're a good person and you do things and you let people know how to do good things, you show people by example, you do good things. That's what you hear. You're lucky enough to have two arms and a working brain and two legs. God willing, you can do what you can do things. Then you do things. And you don't even need those things. As long as you've got a heart that believes in what's good and what's right and you do something with it, you do whatever's within your power to do it, then you do it. That's what makes a difference. That's what you do. And that's what being an adult is about. Yeah, the world, you got these people saying we're in hell and it's a garbage fire and stuff. There's a luxury to saying that stuff. You know what? The people who are in the crossfire, the crosshairs, they don't get to just say it. They got to make it through it. And you got to make it through it. The thing we can do, don't just revel in the fact that things are bad. Just ask yourself, if things are bad, how can I make things good? And then you figure something out and you do something about it for once in your life. Contribute. Don't just tweet about stuff. Figure out how you can do it, and then you do it, then you're allowed to go, and you can sit back, and you can say to yourself, I made the world a better place, so now I'm going to listen to the music of Juliana Hatfield performing Olivia Newton-John. Best show. Back next week.